Now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. I am Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609, that would be the fax. Get up, get to me. I was doing my Sunday morning thing, channel surfing, watching the Sunday morning talk shows, listening to folks say stuff that I was thinking, you know what? I was saying that 3 years ago. Many of you all were saying that 3 years ago. It's just now starting I'm saying it's 6 years ago. It's just now starting to finally burst through, percolate through the voice boxes of the media, the larger media, the corporate media. I watched Teddy Kennedy on Meet the Press on Saturday. And I was listening to him talk about, or listening to Ted or Tim Russert point out support that he, that Ted. A book by the man who wrote this, the Celestine Prophecy. It's another novel that he has written. And I was kind of moved a little bit by a discussion that one of the characters in the book was having with a religious person. And they were confronting the oppression that the Tibetans have from the Chinese government. That was the foundation of the conversation that they were having. And what I thought was really interesting was the frustration that one of the characters was having with the oppression and the lawlessness and the crimes that were being committed against the Tibetan people by the Chinese government in the name of politics. The religious person said that don't make a mistake and believe that you will ever be able to have enough guns or bullets to take down a government like that. Sometimes change comes from other types of places. And I was reminded of what is happening in our world of politics. The change that is coming in the world of politics, because I can feel it. I can feel the discontent of the American people. I can feel the empowerment that people are feeling out there about some of the wins and some of the facts that some of you are empowered in the knowledge that, or in the understanding that, you were right when you assessed this, what was going to happen when George Bush got into office. You're empowered by that. There's a change that's coming. And when I look at what has happened to the Democratic Party, that speaks to the fact that the change is coming despite the fecklessness of the Democratic Party. I'm disappointed in profoundly disappointed in the Black Caucus capitulating on the issue of Katrina instead of taking the issue of the Katrina and making it their own. They've passed it off to the hands of people that were too scared to speak truth to power about this war. They're not going to speak truth to power about the Katrina issue. We're getting a statement from Howard Dean, a correct statement, 8 months after, though, saying the Republicans cut and run in New Orleans. Yeah, but, sweetie, it's been 8 months. An election has occurred. An outrageous election has occurred. People, 300,000 people that are displaced. There was no real effort, honest effort, to get those people back to New Orleans to vote. Get those people in New Orleans to vote. It was a sham. And it was a violation of the Voting Rights Act. And we're just now hearing cut and run from Howard Dean. It's an accurate statement. But it should have never been in the hands of Howard Dean.
It should have been in the hands of the Black Caucus. And they passed the ball off. And as a result, very little has been done. Very little out. And you know what? I'm going to be putting a shout out for my interns. Starting tomorrow. I'm looking for interns for this summer. And you'll be hearing the ad for that. And you can start emailing me now and calling me now if you're interested in being an intern. Because I'm going to do something that I haven't seen anybody else do. Man, if I had the resources an NBC. The stories we would tell. There needs to be a study done of all 100 United States senators. Each one of them, how many trips have they taken to Iraq, and how many trips they've taken to New Orleans. And I bet you when you add it all up, more of them have been to Iraq more frequently than they have been to New Orleans. I think that more of them have been to China than they've been to New Orleans. I bet you more of them have been to New York more than they've been to New Orleans. This is the greatest natural... It's the elimination of an entire city. Hundreds of thousands of Americans displaced. A city still under siege. And they've been to Iraq more than they've been to New Orleans. Oh, we're gonna deal with that this summer. So if you're looking for an internship, you need to give me a call. You need to give me a call. Because the fact of the matter is change is going to come, and it's not going to become as a result of what the Democrats are doing. We can see that now. This sea tide that's going to take place at the expense of the Republicans, or that should take place at the expense of the Republicans, ain't going to take place because the Democrats worked hard to make it so. And Jesus, I mean, just think about this. What if the Democrats take out of this as a national strategy? See, if you just sit back and wait, things will go your way. What if they walk away from this life experience like, you know, children that you've given the wrong lesson to? You know? If you just sit back and wait and don't clean the kitchen, somebody else will clean the kitchen up for you. Bad habits. You're instilling bad habits. And I'm concerned that the Democratic Party has, through their bad habit of sitting bad, you know, they don't even cut and run. But a change is going to come despite them. Despite them. And it's going to come as a result of your actions and your desires to make it so. It's going to take the American people. It's going to take the American people to speak truth to power on this issue. Did you know this? Maybe because we have to keep adding evidence, piling on the evidence of why this administration is too corrupt to continue. Too corrupt to continue. The man who was tapped to fill Karl Rove's spot as the policy wizard for the White House, you know who that is? It's a man by the name of Joel Kaplan. Who is Joel Kaplan? You need to know this. Joel Kaplan is a man who took place in the infamous Brooks Brothers riot. Remember that riot? Remember what the Brooks Brothers riot was? That's when a bunch of Washington, D.C. GOP operatives posed in front of the cameras as outraged Floridians, the ones that waved their fists and chanted stop the fraud and pounded on windows in an effort to intimidate officials engaging in the Florida recount effort. Now, some would say all's fair in love and politics. Fair enough. There are those that engage in dirty politics. That's dirty politics. Now, how does that make you feel as an American that the operative, the planner, a participant in dirty politics has been promoted to the position of Karl Rove? I guess when you have porn stars as members of the press, why wouldn't you have a dirty politician or a dirty a person that engages in dirty politics in charge of policy in this White House? Of course you would. I guess you have to, I guess the question is when getting a job in that administration is how many lies have you told? How many dishonest acts have you engaged in? Okay, you're hired. You're hired. Up is down, down is up. The more you lie on your, the more lies you have in your resume, the more likely you'll get you'll be hired in this White House. The guy that lied to the camera said they were, I'm from Florida. I'm outraged. Stop the fraud. Leading the American people to believe that Floridians were this upset? No. Political operatives and people that are willing to lie to the camera and lie to you in order to get their way, they were the ones that were doing it. He got a promotion. He's now replacing Karl Rove. And I kid you not, they put this on their resume. He has it on his resume. They proudly note their participation in the Brooks Brothers riot on their resumes and in interviews. Isn't that something? Who was the chairman of the CEO of Brooks Brothers? Oh, yeah, Bill Roberti. Why is that not surprising? 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Mr. Jones, good morning.
Just great. Just wanted to comment in reference to the dysfunctional Democratic Party nationally. I mean, it's just really a reflection on even local Democratic operatives. It's like they're looking themselves in the mirror. I mean, it's going to have to be an awakening amongst the electorate in order to make this situation to change. How do you feel about that?
I think that, and again, I'm looking at some of the things that are happening here on a local level, some of the things that are happening nationally on a local level. It's going to take a grassroots effort to change this, and for us to say that this is just absolutely unacceptable. People need to get to the streets. People need to take to the streets. And I think that the local issue or the local election, the school board election, is a reflection of not politics as usual.
I agree. Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot, Ms. Brown.
All right, Mr. Jones, we're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Six Flags St. Louis. Northbound Route 3 at Queenie, all roadways are reopened after an earlier accident that's over on the Illinois side. Northbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom, look for an accident reported. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge, all roadways are reopened after an earlier accident as well. Eastbound 40 from Vandeventer, look for road construction having the right lane closed. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 at Riverview and Old Halls Ferry, look for no problems there. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic's building. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and K, look for traffic to be building there. Eastbound 40 at Spirit of St. Louis Airport all the way into Clarkson, look for no problems to report. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge is starting to build this hour. Westbound 64 at 5570 split looks good, as well as westbound Martin Luther King Bridge and Laclede's Landing looks good as well. Page at Newstead, those traffic lights are not working. They are on red flash, so treat that intersection as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Six Flags St. Louis. Six Flags St. Louis is celebrating 45 years with its largest expansion ever, and season passes are on sale at all Schnucks locations. Purchase and use your season pass by May 7th and get a bonus free friend visit. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers today, high in the mid-70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely low in the upper 40s. Then on Tuesday, cloudy, cooler, chance of showers in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 60. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees, Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The St. Louis County Parks Department is sponsoring a breakfast bike ride on Sunday at Creve Coeur County Park. The program begins at 9 a.m. from the Sailboat Cove and concludes at 1. The fee is $15 per person and advance registration is required. After the 10-mile ride, you'll enjoy an all-you-can-eat breakfast brunch at the Winery of the Little Hills. For more info, call 636-391-3474. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas tree.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on.
It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at foreignlearnings.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Recently on the Jackson and Jackson radio program.
Every stinking week I go, you got a trivia question? You go, yeah, who was a Major League batting champion in 1955 in the National League? And I go, I don't know. And I go, do you know? No. We're going to give a trivia question we don't know the answer questions for?
Join Johnny B. Jackson, Robbie the Carp, and friends Thursday nights, 10 to 11, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
You want to know what you're going to get in this? Just a little touch of stock on the chin.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding.
That's good. I wanted to talk about this morning was a friend of mine had brought, he travels all around the country driving his truck, and he had brought up a point to me about a lot of brothers who, you know, stand out in the corners and don't have a job, that they need to learn a trade. And I was listening to him speak about that, and I said, it's very true. It'd be good if they would learn a trade. Well, recently you had spoke about a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, about a business workshop that they were teaching people how to get their business, you know.
You need to mind your own business.com, yes.
That's what it was. Well, I had wanted to go to that, but some that weekend I just could not make it to that workshop, and I was wondering, is there anything that they're gonna have it again or anything that could help me to, you know, get my business on a better foundation?
I will let you know. I do not know when they're going to do another one, but I will certainly let you know.
Yes, that would be a big plus because, like I was saying, a lot of brothers. I give one guy, you know, he works with me regularly, and it would be good. I would like to. Like employee, like maybe.
Okay. And I will let you know when we have our next one, okay?
I appreciate it very
much. All right.
Much.
Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, Liz. Thursday night I was listening to a power hour, and Zaki had Rodney Hubbard and Eartha Gilkin, what's the other legislator, you know, the other guy, Hoskins, is that his name?
The one that was removed from their leadership positions in the Black Caucus.
Okay, they was pushing for this voucher program.
Mm-hmm, of course. And, did they talk about the money that they got from
it? Right.
Did they talk about that?
No, they didn't
talk about the money that they got from there.
They talked about it, but they said it. But that didn't mean they for the program. When it all boiled down, they were. And you know, I called in and I asked Liz, why don't y'all, since I see you all taking up for the kids, I said, you know, Jay Nixon is running for governor. I said, why haven't anybody challenged Jay Nixon about the $178 million that's owed to the DSEG program? And Rodney Hubbard, he's not professional at all. You know, he kind of got mad and said, "We don't, that's not no issue right now." And then they hung up on me.
Okay. So what do you want me to do about that?
No, I'm just telling you how he acted.
All
you
right.
Know, they could not stand up for the kids.
I think the thing about
money.
The thing that we all
they want to take money from the schools.
Here's the thing. I think that people need to be elected officials need to be evaluated on who they take money from, how much money they take, and what they do once they take the money. We know that these particular individuals have taken tens of thousands of dollars from these pro-voucher people, these voucher fanatics. And for you to look me in the face or talk or whisper in my ear that doesn't mean nothing, baby, you a lie.
Sure,
you a lie. You a lie.
You know, he said, that's not an issue. What do you mean that's not an issue?
It's not. He was telling you the truth. How much have they given me any money? It ain't no issue.
Mm-hmm.
When they give me some money, I guess it'll be an issue to them. All right?
Okay,
Are you clear? Shoot.
Right.
Thanks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. The question is, how are you?
I'm much better. Thank you for asking.
I have a really short quote from President of the United States in support of revolution. It's two sentences. May I read it?
Certainly.
This country with its institutions belongs to the people who live here. Whenever they grow weary of the existing government, they have their constitutional right to amend it, or their revolutionary right to dismember or overthrow it. And the president was Abraham Lincoln in his inaugural address.
So there's a revolutionary right.
Yes. I mean, if... This is from the president, and you know your theme song talks about revolution.
Yeah, you don't need to remind me. I've always believed in a revolutionary right. I didn't know that somebody else in Washington did, too. Always believed in the revolutionary right.
Well, and that was in his inaugural address.
Mm-hmm.
And when people hear that, they kind of look surprised, because the word revolution is like the quote which I've heard on your program. The elephant in the room.
Mm. All right.
Okay, Liz, thank you so much, and welcome back.
Thank you, Dimitri. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. I am Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Los Angeles. A report in the weekend edition of the Los Angeles Times says that California prisons are becoming so badly overcrowded that there will be enough new inmates to fill 5 more prisons over the next 5 years. The increase is being caused by not only the newly incarcerated, but by those on parole who do new crimes or violate the terms of their release. The California prison system is going through a turbulent period right now, as the acting corrections secretary just left that job this past week. He was the second top management person to leave a post because of concerns that the Union for Corrections Officers is having too much influence over prison management. There are 33 prisons in California, and nearly all of them are filled to twice what they were designed for. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has called for making another 83,000 cells available through new construction and by using county and state jail facilities. But that's part of his public works program that has hit a dead end in the state legislature. Things are so bad that classrooms and vocational instructional centers in the prisons are having to be converted into living quarters. The inmates are three to a cell in triple-deckered bunks in many of the prisons. This makes for long lines for meals, showers, and medical care, which also leads to growing tension among the population. Prison administrators had called for easing the numbers by diverting prisoners into community service programs or using electronic monitors. But an outcry from victims groups and the guards union caused that idea to be scrapped. Now it seems that if the state is unwilling to either back away from the three strikes rule or build more prisons, the only thing left to do would be to add modular buildings or even large tents to house the increasing population. Back in 1983, a tent city housing 900 was set up at San Quentin because of the same reasons, but a lawsuit put a stop to it on the grounds of overcrowding. The Supreme Court has ruled that even if overpopulation in prisons creates discomfort and danger behind bars, it is okay as long as it is not intentional and basic human needs do not go unmet. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate's is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate's Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
Hi, my name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name is Dove.
And we are the hosts of the new Crime Time Live talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
I am Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes. All are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by Earthshare of Missouri and the Ad Council.
prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm by the river, taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Now there's an ocean, current takes hold. Words already been spoken, tales already been told. Hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed. Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be loved for real? Do you want to be loved?
Be love for real. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yeah, I want to put the peace grannies in jail in New York City. you heard about that?
Uh-huh.
Freedom and democracy.
Well, they want to put the peace grannies in jail. They want to put the people that leaked the story about the United States of America having secret prisons all over the world. That person is going to jail. George Bush can leak a story when he's trying to tap down the facts about why the fact that there was no reason for us to go to war. He's allowed to leak for that. Mm-hmm.
The Chinese woman, they want to put her in jail for 6 months because she
yelled,
used her freedom and democracy.
That is correct. And understand that is on behalf of China. So in America, and right. Like George Bush has been very, very, very clear, the buck stops there. This administration is all about the buck. So this is about the buck. If you mess with my bucks, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
All right, Scott.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Michael.
Good morning, Professor Brown. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
And welcome back.
Thank you.
I have a question. It may be a little bit crazy. I was wondering, based upon the information that was given by Dr. Frank Friday while you were gone, and other information, I wonder, do we get what we deserve as far as consequences of having this president in office?
Who's the we in that?
The American people.
Did you vote for him?
No, ma'am, I didn't.
Nor did I. So, we in that too? You understand what I'm saying? You know, I always make it very clear on and I'm certain that you do too, that I didn't vote him in. And if you counted the votes, he's not supposed to be in anyway. So, has America gotten what it's deserved? I don't know. I mean, because I didn't ask for it, and a whole lot of other people didn't ask for it either. Does that make sense to you?
Not really. I kept asking myself this entire weekend. as consequence, will we be able to get out of this quagmire that he has put us in?
Well, I think that I believe that oftentimes change comes as a result of us hitting your rock bottom. You know, people that are alcoholics, their change comes when they hit their bottom. People that are overeaters, their change comes when they find themselves going in the garbage can and getting the food out that they threw away and eating that. You find your bottom. And America is looking for its bottom right now. And I think that America's close to its bottom when gasoline is almost $4 a gallon, headed towards $4 a gallon, and people are buying into the lie about, well, we're just making some changes. We're going to this ethanol product. These are the times that the refineries are down for blah, 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 blah. They're greedy sons of guns, and they're robbing us blind. And when America finds that bottom, that's when change will come.
I just hope it's soon.
Fair enough. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Have we reached our bottom? Or is America just a bottomless pit? I don't know. I feel that people are getting it. I've had white male Republicans call me cussing about George W. Bush. Cussing. White male born Republicans cussing about George W. Bush. Have we reached our bottom? I think we're headed there. Gasoline, $3 plus a gallon. And people are buying into the lie that has something to do with Nigeria or Iran. Bunk. Bunk. Bunk, bunk, bunk. Oh, we're retooling our refineries. And there's a bit of a shortage. Bunk. Bunk. You ever heard that lie before? All the years you've been using gas. You ever heard that lie before? We're retooling our fineries. This is the time of the year that we retool our fineries, and you're going to see a little bit of a spike. Bunk. Bunk. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Brief comment. You spurred me to call when you said the bit about them doing the refinery changeover.
Mm-hmm.
And now, here's the thing. They have said in the past they do that. But you know what? I think it's a bunch of malarkey, at least for one service station, who doesn't even get their supply of fuel. They don't manufacture it. They don't refine it. And that is QT. QT has touted for years, that their gasolines have ethanol in them. I mean, that's summer, winter, fall, spring. And yet, who should be the lost leader has... You know, what, they're behind by maybe a penny. So it is a bunch of garbage.
It is. It's bunk.
It's a
bunk.
Bunch of garbage for these guys to be saying that they're retooling it for anything. As I understand it, that petroleum or that gasoline is coming from British Petroleum. So British Petroleum shouldn't have any problem flipping to ethanol.
And please explain to me why gas prices dipped right around Christmas and came after Christmas.
You know why? Because that's just so they, you know, so that consumers will buy those Christmas presents.
There you go. There you go.
You know,
and why is
it right back up right after Christmas?
Right after
before
Christmas.
New Year's, it start going back up.
What did I say? I said exactly that. That's what would happen. That's exactly what did.
You know, we're on the same page on that one. I knew that was going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember, say that progress is being made. If you take a 1999 back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound below me.
I'm hearing revolution. The air
will be brother. The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. As gas prices continue to put the squeeze on their wallets, motorists are getting mad and hoping Congress can help them get even. ABC's Jim Hickey has the latest.
Karen, a sense of frustration seems to be settling across the land about gas prices, about oil companies.
Really, what can you do? You know, they've got us, right?
Even the president seems stymied.
We got a real problem when it comes to oil.
Some in Congress, including Democrat Ted Kennedy, want to go after big oil.
Recapture these excessive profits that are going to the oil industry.
Average Americans are finding more immediate relief. USA Today reports a big upturn in the use of mass transit. Karen?
The price of gasoline hit a national average of $2.91 a gallon. Crude oil prices have dropped below last week's record high of over $75 a barrel to $74.62. Five high school kids in Kansas are due in court today and could face charges for allegedly plotting a Columbine-style shooting spree at their school, complete with long black trench coats. Police say disturbing internet messages prompted a search during which weapons and ammunition were found at one suspect's home. Is it him? ABC's Ann Compton tells us the White House believes the latest audio tape could be the voice of Osama bin Laden.
President Bush was quickly informed that this...
Sudan.
Probably is a recent recording by Osama bin Laden. President Bush didn't respond directly to bin Laden's threats.
We're defeating an enemy overseas, so we do not have to face them here at home.
But spokesman Scott McClellan said the tape shows the Al-Qaeda leader is on the run and under pressure. Ann Compton, ABC News, Palm Springs.
Deliberations could begin today in Alexandria, Virginia, in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui, the only man ever tried on 9/11 charges. About a third of all breast cancer survivors gradually stop getting regular screenings, according to a new study. Researchers say some may get complacent after the initial scare is over. Others may dread a recurrence. This is ABC News.
Hi, I'm Bob Bettendorf of the Bettendorf Company, the largest importer of flatware and fine china in the area for over 30 years. Our secret? Great service for each and every one of our customers. Of course, we're not too sure who these customers are. We have this new fancy customer information computer system, but nobody at any of our stores, which are in seven states, can figure out how to use it. Anyway, that's not your problem. Come into the Bettendorf Company showroom near you, and don't be offended if we don't recognize you.
Even some successful businesses could use help with customer relationship dynamics. That's why there's Microsoft Dynamics, powerful, people-ready business management solutions that can deliver an easy-to-use customer knowledge base so your salespeople can deliver first-class customer service. Plus, Microsoft Dynamics can help you with financial and supply chain management. Visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
After another pile of bone fragments were found at Ground Zero, a New York senator is calling for military help in finding the last of them.
150 new bone fragments have recently been discovered on the roof of a building. New York Senator Charles Schumer says the miraculous discovery warrants a more extensive search, and in a letter asks Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld to send an elite military unit to help inspect all the buildings bordering Ground Zero, where remains may have scattered due to the force of the explosions and collapse. More than 600 bone fragments have been found on the former Deutsche Bank building since workers began preparations last fall to tear it down. Daniela Vellata, ABC News, New York.
The party's over in Great Britain, finally. 5 days of festivities to celebrate Queen Elizabeth's 80th birthday came to a close at Windsor Castle with a service of Thanksgiving, attended by her grandsons, the princes, and former prime ministers Margaret Thatcher and John Major. The Dean of Windsor hailed the Queen for giving all her subjects so much heart. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News update. This report brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news at this hour, Governor Matt Blunt will return to Penobscot County today for a follow-up look at storm-damaged areas. Blunt will tour Caruthersville this afternoon and receive an update on the efforts to rebuild from the F3 tornado that hit that city on April 2nd. The governor first visited the area April 6th, a few days after activating the National Guard to help in that recovery effort. In Wellston, the Wellston School District has interim accreditation from the state. The special interim designation is better than being unaccredited, but still not as good as provisional accreditation. State of Missouri took over the Wellston School District last June after poor performance cost the district its accreditation. The takeover was the first of its kind in Missouri history. In other news, the campaign to keep a stem cell measure off of the November ballot continues. Missourians Against Human Cloning are running radio ads that encourage voters not to sign a petition which would put this issue in the hands of the voters. Proponents say the measure does not call for human cloning, but opponents say the process of somatic cell nuclear transfer does involve human cloning. The ads are being aired in Cape Girardeau, Columbia, Joplin, Springfield, and St. Louis. And finally, in Florissant, animal control officials are enforcing that city's new ordinance on pit bulls. Owners of pit bulls in Florissant must register their animals within the next 30 days. The ordinance was passed late last year. Residents with questions can call Florissant's Health Department and Animal Control Division. That number is 314-839-7655. That's WGNU News, brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through April, purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We will look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 55 at 141 in Merrimack Bottom. That accident has been cleared. There's still some delays. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer. There's road construction. Right lane is closed. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass to Watson looks good. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 is slow from K to 79. Eastbound 40 from Long Road to Woods Mill. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 from Blanchett Bridge. Look for maintenance operations. The left lane is closed and traffic is slow through Highway 94 at this hour. Westbound 70 at Earth City Expressway. Look for maintenance operations. The left lane is closed, so you can expect some delays there. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit is closed due to maintenance work. Expect some delays. Westbound 5570 at 64 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for slow traffic as well. Martin Luther King Bridge at Laclede's Landing. Look for traffic to be building this hour, as well as northbound Route 3. Those ramps onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games, Monopoly, Power, Lucky Dough, and Bingo, all from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for today. Look forward to mostly cloudy skies, a chance of showers, a high in the mid-70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms will continue with a low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, cooler, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon with a high around 60. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. progress is healing the wound. That's a low major.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brighter.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that. The Wake Up Call is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. Also, you can email me at revolution@LizBrown. That's LizzBrown.com. Check out the website at LizBrown.com. I heard that there are a group of artists that are going to be putting together a version of, I believe it's God Bless America. I believe it's God Bless America. Or the national, no, it's the national anthem. The national anthem. And they're going to be doing it in Spanish. And I heard some Americans talking about that, about whether or not is that something that should be done? And then they went and they looked at Canada. Well, Canada, they sing their national anthem in French and in English, but should the national anthem be sung in Spanish? We live in a crazy country. We live in an absolutely crazy country where the issue of black and brown and all the colors in between and outside of black and brown, we have issues that are about the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. About issues of race. And we also have something else that goes on in this country. That one thing that Iraq has, the issue of Iraq has done for many Americans is force them to look, force them to see that there is something else in the world beside the United States of America. Part of the challenge of living in this country is the fact that we are bordered only by two countries. The rest is water. And far too many Americans are ignorant of the world. Maybe it's because we're geographically isolated. Maybe it's because we are emotionally and intellectually isolated. Maybe it's because we believe that, like six-year-olds, five-year-olds, four-year-olds, that we're myopic. That when we go to bed, that the rest of the world goes to bed too. That the world only exists as we see it. Huh. The fact of the matter is that what we do here lands in the world out there. What happens in the world out there lands here too. And we need to talk about this. We need to talk about the immigration issue because Congress is coming back from their Easter break. Isn't that something? They're just now getting back from their Easter break. Nice job if you can get it. They're just coming back from their Easter break. and they're going to be taking up this issue of immigration, and we need to talk about the impact of our policies, how our immigration policies will impact Central and Southern American politics. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Madison, Wisconsin, Roberto Rodriguez. He's a syndicated columnist with Column of the Americas. Roberto, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Very, very good. Roberto, do you think that, those of us living here in this country are kind of like not as educated as we should be about how we land an impact on the rest of the world?
Yeah, I'm kind of stunned because usually I get interviewed by people that, don't seem to know don't seem to know anything. And yeah, no, absolutely. It's an amazing time, but you know, it's all subterfuge, and yet when you really really probe, it's always been subterfuge. From day one, you know, you mentioned black-brown relations, and what we even have to look back, even step back even a little further, because when you really look at this, it begins the day they came in their boats, you know, and they've never reconciled that, you know. They have created, you know, this the psyche of this nation has created this idea that we're a nation of immigrants. And a colleague wrote recently and said, no, we're a nation of colonists. I don't know if he included himself in that, but I don't include myself in that. But I think it's true. That is, it's a nation of colonists.
Well, the colonizers and the colonized.
Absolutely. And you cannot become native simply by colonizing and passing a law. And that's what is at the core of this discussion. Mm. What is legal? Because if they're telling everybody else to go home and, you know, the rule of law, and I say, well, let's examine the law. You know, who created these laws? You know, I mean, I don't have to tell you. I mean, we're talking about people that engaged in genocide, land theft, slavery, you know, more land theft. And then we're being lectured about what's legal.
The rule of law.
Right.
What part of illegal don't you understand? It's kind of galling, isn't it? When you have a historical perspective of this country, it's galling to hear the same country that, you know, ask Amadou Diallo, you know, what part of illegal, you know, don't you understand? I mean, this is a country that often a wink and a nod will ignore the law to its own advantage.
Yeah, and that's why I said I think, you know, what's happening here, and I think we've reached the point of no return, is that the mythology of this nation is being exposed, because if they're so adamant about follow the rule of law and we're native and immigrants and all this business, well, let's really look at this situation. You know, it's hard for me, and that's why I say I know I'm talking to somebody that knows what they're talking about, because usually it's very difficult. I have to start from day one or even before, because I have to say, look, the mythology is that we have some extreme nationalism at work here, U.S. nationalism, and there's a master narrative, and we're supposed to accept it.
Well, talk to us about the master narrative.
Well, sure. And let me say that, well, yeah, the master narrative is that you had some pilgrims come over, had a meal, had a white sail, and then they moved west. You know, I don't understand that, don't relate to that. You know, I come from peoples that have been here for thousands and thousands of years. Part of what's in me, I have African blood in me. I have a little bit of everything. You know, I'm not from the school of that claims purity. You know, I don't believe in it. In fact, that's what I think the problem in this country is, this notion of purity. And I think they've infected people everywhere. Like you said, you know, the whole world looks at this country. And this country is trying to set a model for the rest of the world, and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
This model of purity, of this uber nationalism, this hyper nationalism, you know, let's go start wars. You know, and you were alluding to something a little while ago, which I would say, I think this combination of this immigration debate and the war, you know, it highlights something that if people didn't know, maybe they'll stop. Well, let me say this. it's costing, I believe, $10 billion a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talk about, let's educate the people. You know, I've always said, why don't we make college available to everyone? Anybody who wants college can have it. And, of course, people will say, oh, we can't afford that. And I'm like, well, have we looked at the war lately? $10 billion a month.
We could educate. We could promise a college education to every single eighth grader in America. I heard some astounding number, Roberto, that India is graduating something like 300,000 engineers a year. Other countries are doing the same. We graduate about 70,000 engineers a year. Now, the reason why we're not graduating that many engineers is because of this issue of class, because of this issue of gender, and because of this issue of race in this country.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at. See, it wouldn't cost $10 billion a month to educate anybody who wanted an education,
mm-hmm.
because it's an incredible investment.
And then also, don't we also have to talk about not only... It's not the investment doesn't just end there. When they did the GI Bill, and that was a wonderful bill for those that could get it. There was a 7% return on every GI that took advantage of that and went to college.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a return on the investment.
Well, that's the whole point. And you figure, like, you know, somebody might figure it out. And I think people are figuring it out now, because see, again, when we talk about $10 billion, it doesn't matter if it's $5 billion, you know, whatever the cost, it also has a negative return on that investment, because it isn't just $10 billion a month, it's destruction.
Yes, it is.
Just destroying the nation, destroying goodwill, destroying everything from A to Z, and so it's all destruction. Now, again, you turn around and say, if you graduate from high school, you get a college education, you're right. That's an incredible investment. Now, you know, the thing is, we're told, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't understand why. I guess I'm impatient. You know, there's so much illegality out there. You know, that's why, yeah, this thing about they're telling us about illegal, when everything about what's happening now is illegal. Again, I don't know. Sometimes my wife kind of laughs at me because she says I get too excited, and I figure maybe I don't get too excited enough.
Well, and Roberto, bring us to the issue of immigration.
Yes.
Talk to us about the impact on the policies that this government is attempting to push through with regard to immigration. What kind of impact will that have on our Central and Southern American friends?
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Sensenbrenner, you know, the congressman from Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
I think everything that he's proposed and anything like it is all subterfuge. I think the real plan...
Well, talk to us about his plan and let us know about that.
Sure. And I'll be very general because, as you probably know, legislation changes overnight.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're asleep.
Especially when you sleep.
Yeah. The primary aspects of the Sensenbrenner bill is to literally make felons out of 12 million people. That means, theoretically, our prison population and the private prison industry would have a boom. A felon is not simply deportable. They're people that can be jailed, you know, for a long time. So that's the number one thing. Now, they have changed the law where if you assist an undocumented migrant, you know, whatever term people are using, if you assist someone that is here designated as illegal in the country, they become subject to criminal prosecution. So again, that could be from thieving. You know, they'll claim, they only mean smugglers, but no, that's not what the law says. So, and we know how that goes. You know, people will use whatever leeway they can get, they will. And so anyone that assists is subject to criminality. And then perhaps the most absurd part of the law is the proposal, is the 700 miles of walls. Now, we have a border that's about 2,000 miles, so logically, after they build a 700, you know that they're going to say, well, they're just going around it. So, of course, in due time, it'll be like, let's seal the 2,000 miles. Now, if you've followed the issue of the walls that exist now, hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people have died in the last 10 years because of these walls, because their internal studies have spoken about this. They say, well, if we seal the borders in the cities, they will go through the canyons, inhospitable canyons, deserts, likely resulting in death. And so that's internal memos. So they know this. It's intentional policies. Now, you know, the ramifications, I mean, God, there's nothing positive. Now, let me tell you why I think all this was a ruse, on top of that I'm sure one day they might even do it. But the ruse, I think, is much bigger. I think we're talking about the creation of the ideal labor force. They're calling it the guest worker program. You know, we had that before. It was called the Bracero program. And I think it was Cesar Chavez who always credited the end of the demise of the Bracero program for the birth of the United Farm Workers Union and movement. Because with that system, the worker does not have a right to organize, does not have a right to switch jobs, does not have a right to bring a spouse or their family, must return. It's the ideal. Oh, and of course they have to, or they don't have to, but normally they work for sub minimum wages, no health or minimal health. So you're talking about a graying population bringing in or creating the ideal labor force. You know, you put in,
and also not only the ideal labor force, but the ideal, it's ideal commerce-wise, too, because
absolutely,
when they come in, they also spend money.
Absolutely.
So they spend their money here. They work here for wages that that other Americans would not work for because they have the ability to organize, and then they go home.
Yeah,
it's a perfect workforce.
Yeah, and so that's why I think it's a subterfuge. I think that the whole idea is to bring in everybody under that ruse, so that, like, yeah, what's at work here is the codification of not simply a two-tiered society, you know, maybe a three-tiered society. And I'm sure we can get technical and, you know, break it down to 20 for all I know. But, I mean, literally, you would have your American, your citizen, and then you'd have your guest workers, the braceros, and then you'd have the people that are outside of that system. And so you have literally three types of human beings in this country.
Now, are all of the policies, or all of, not policies, all of the legislation being proposed, does it all, or does most of it have the guest worker component to it? Who's advocating against the guest worker component? Or is that just a done deal?
Well, it's probably a done deal because, see, that's what I've been saying all along, is that they have made this, I equate it to a policy of apartheid, meaning they have made apartheid sound sensible. When you have extreme proposals like Sensenbrenner and like-minded proposals, all of a sudden, you know, oh, that sounds like the humane alternative.
Mm.
You know? And you know, this is a racialized indentured servitude. And that seems to be, you know, and again, if you know legislation, anything that's proposed today can be changed. And what you were joking about, literally, while we're all asleep, they actually change it. And that's actually why, you know, the negotiations broke down, because the Democrats knew that, yeah, you can pass a bill, but what happens when it goes to the House, the compromise?
The compromise.
Oh, yeah.
And the other piece of it is that, let's take a break on this, but when I come back, I want to also talk about the two people that are pushing the legislation from the Senate side, Ted Kennedy and the man who wants to be president on the Republican side from Arizona, the senator from Arizona, will be back. I'm talking to Roberto Rodriguez, syndicated columnist with Column of the Americas, joining us from Madison, Wisconsin. We're talking about the impact of the proposed immigration policies on how they will impact on Central and South American politics. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Today, visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 5 in the afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA. Then go do the right thing.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Warren. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer's Road is closed due to construction, and traffic is very heavy approaching the Science Center. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and Watson looks good. Westbound 270 from Lilac to West Forson is on move. Northbound 270 from Sappington to 44 expects slow traffic. Northbound 55 from 141 to Merrimack Bottom. Look for slight delays this hour. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into T.R. Hughes. Slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason slow. And eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, there's maintenance operations and traffic is slow through the work zone. The left lane is closed there. Westbound 70 at Earth City Expressway, look for maintenance operations. Left lane's closed. You can expect some delays there as well. Westbound 5570 split into 64 and westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue into the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at 8th Street and the PSB. Look for traffic building Martin Luther King Bridge. Westbound 2, Laclede's Landing. Look for some traffic buildups there as well. South Compton and Potomac, there's a report of an accident. Old Hall's Ferry at Netherton, there's a report of an accident. And Marshall at 270, the railroad crossing failure. And the gates are reported to be stuck in a down position. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with the four new pick-and-play games, Monopoly Poker, Lucky Dough, and Bingo, all from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers today, high in the mid-70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, cloudy, cooler with a chance for showers and then partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 60. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-60s. Currently, it is 64 degrees under clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MELS. C-A-S-H.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the Central Luanga Center.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved?
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to Roberto Rodriguez. He's a syndicated columnist with Column of the Americas, and he's joining us from Madison, Wisconsin. And we're talking about how this, our government, our good government's proposed immigration policies will impact Central and South American politics as well as our own. Roberto, welcome back.
Yes.
We were talking about the two major advocates for the immigration policies that almost made it out before the Easter break, Ted Kennedy and John McCain. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us about both of them are pushing this guest worker piece, is that correct?
Yes.
And again, one would think that, it feels as if there's more of an effort to appear to be to have the ability to compromise with this is a bipartisan plan, as if that is the goal, that we reach some kind of bipartisan decision on this, as opposed to the goal of having good legislation.
Right. Yeah. I think they're the congressional point people on this project. I would say that it's probably Bush's project, the president's project, and he needs people in Congress to push for him.
Mm-hmm.
The president is very business-oriented, as we all know. And in effect, this notion of a guest worker program is a business proposal. I would say it's more than that, but that's how it's being presented. And there's a reaction by people everywhere. It's kind of bizarre, because I've listened to this topic, and people that are on all sides of the political spectrum, probably the one thing they believe is that this project is wrong. This guest worker program is wrong. It doesn't matter if you're right, left, center, bottom, top, whatever. People know at a gut level that this is wrong. Because it literally is creating a separate labor force. And anyway, as I mentioned, this is the president's project all along.
And because this is I think that whenever we look at or try to examine the policies that are pushed hardest by this administration, the buck stops with this administration.
Yeah.
We have to look at what money, where the money is in any particular piece of legislation. This policy or these proposals impact and favor businesses, don't they? This is something that business wants.
Absolutely. And I think part of the strategy at a cultural level is pitting groups against each other. As you well know, one of the strategies for the last 20 years is to pit black versus brown or brown versus black or, you know, or Asians. And anyway, everybody's got to be pitting somebody against somebody else. And what I wanted to say about that is, and I've already alluded to it, the number one problem is that, you know, when you're remanded to the worst jobs of society, then the problem seems to be pretty obvious. This is what we need, you know, education. Now, to get back to something very, I think, very critical to this discussion, that it is not strictly a problem that's going to affect people of Mexican descent, Central or South American descent. It is a problem for the entire country. And this is what I mean. When I had alluded to this earlier, we're at a crossroads. We are talking about a legal population and an illegal population. In other words, as a society, we have to make that decision. Is that the sum total of thousands of years of history, thousands of years of democracy, it ends up with legal human beings and illegal human beings. And I maintain that that is contrary to everything that a lot of us are against. And I think the tide is with us. You know, you have, of course, that reaction from the extreme right wing or people that believe, you know, the hype. But in the end, when you really come down to it, I don't think people want that, you know. And I think it's not going to come from Congress, and it's not going to come from the president. It's got to come from, you know what, I think I may be having an emergency because the calls keep coming in. Hold on.
Okay. Well, here's what we can do. Why don't we, can we take a quick caller here and then we can take a break?
Yes.
Okay, let me do a quick caller here. Alfred.
Yes. How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding. Can you have a question for our guest, Roberto Rodriguez?
Yeah. I heard on the news that some people was trying to migrate into Mexico to work, but they refused to let them in, and when they came in, they, you know, took them to the border. In the last 5 years, they only let, I think it was 1,500 or 1,600 people, gave them citizenships where they could work.
Americans?
No, not Americans. Some other foreigners, you know, from the other islands. They said Latin America.
Okay.
And one more thing I would like to ask him. How do he feel about these people that was working down in New Orleans and then here, the Mexicans come in and they lay them off. The people that was living down their houses was destroyed. They got rid of them and hired the Mexicans because they would work for much less money.
Thanks.
You know, that's the problem I have, you know.
Thank you. And we're going to take a break here, Roberto, and we'll come back. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Roberto Rodriguez, and we'll address some of those questions that Alfred brought to us. Roberto Rodriguez is a syndicated columnist with the Column of Americas, joining us from Madison, Wisconsin. We'll be back.
My white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found.
CASH.com.
Wednesday night is West Wing night here on WGNU. From 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday, Herb Steck is your party line host to help you get through your hump day. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 for the West Wing with Herb Steck. Here on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. Also online at www.wgnu.net.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
People, keep on learning.
Hi, Mom.
my name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name's Doe.
And we are the hosts of the new Crime Time Live talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. When President Bush began his time in office 6 years ago, it was his intent to follow the direction of a document called the Defense Planning Guidance Protocol that was developed after the fall of the Soviet Union. It was leaked to the press back in 1992, and the main thrust of that strategy is to prevent the emergence of any possible threat to the military superiority of the United States on the same level as did the Soviet Union. At the time it was crafted, there were several nations that were considered to be possible threats: Russia, Germany, India, Japan, and China. After the Bush presidency began, his policy strategists became sure that China posed the greatest threat to the United States on several fronts, and that it would be inevitable that the Chinese would eventually challenge the interests of America around the world. This was why Condoleezza Rice spent so much time during her first term in office trying to get out of the anti-ballistic missile treaty with Russia and trying to get Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan to enter into a joint missile defense system. Former counter-terrorist advisor to the White House, Richard Clark, says that Rice spent too much time on those issues and missed the conditions that led to the 9/11 attacks. The Iraq War became a showcase of American military might to China. Last June, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld gave a speech in Singapore that warned of a Chinese buildup that could compromise peace and stability in Asia. Earlier this year, the Defense Department released its Quadrennial Defense Review, which also identified China as the most likely threat to American superiority. The strategy seems now to be to nurture an anti-Chinese coalition in the Asian-Pacific region, as well as continue a military buildup with the help of friendly defense contractors, of course. The acquisition of control over the world's oil supply along the Persian Gulf will also provide a huge piece of leverage against the Chinese threat, as China is in the throes of an unprecedented economic growth and needs as much oil as it can obtain to continue its development. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Bye, Angela. We'll be back Thursday.
You know, Marcy, this new playground would not have happened without Mark and the other boosters.
Recognize outstanding volunteer efforts in your community by nominating them for a 2006 Governor's Hometown Award. From playgrounds to food drives, beautification projects to senior centers, volunteer efforts that make Illinois a better place to live, work, and do business could win a Governor's Hometown Award. Applications must be submitted by June 16th. The Governor and the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity invite you to shine the spotlight on volunteers in your town. For more information and an application guidebook, please call 217-558-2838. 217-558-2838. The Governor's Hometown Awards, recognizing and promoting volunteerism throughout Illinois.
Hi, this is Phil Wilson.
And of course, I'm George Cotton Sr.
Listen to The Real Deal with George and Phil every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. for controversial and thought-provoking radio.
That's right. In addition to national advice on law and health, you can also expect some of the most ridiculous comments heard anywhere on radio.
Yeah, and you say most of them.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple times or two.
The Real Deal with George and Phil. Tune us in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to the syndicated columnist with Column of the Americas from Madison, Wisconsin, Roberto Rodriguez. And Roberto, welcome back. Before the break, we had a caller, Alfred, who had a couple of questions. One was the question of whether or not Mexico really opens up their borders to non-Mexicans and what we should make of that. And then secondly, the issue of the concern that he had about what was going on in New Orleans, the fact that these companies went in and appeared to get the cheapest labor that they could find to do the work after they changed the rules in the, at the federal government, that they didn't have to pay people the going wage in Louisiana or in New Orleans. And what should we be concerned about that?
Well, let me answer the second question first. That is about New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
What you said already gives us the answer. That is, it was not the Mexican worker that changed the rules, that changed the laws. That was the president. The president did that, I believe, well, I don't know, whenever he woke up about the situation. I think that was the first thing he did. He says...
The first thing he did was give the no-bid tens of millions of dollars contracts to Halliburton. Then the second thing he did was change the rules.
Yeah. So there we see the problem. See, that's what happens, is that people... You know, rather than see who's changing the rules, who's profiting, it's like they look at the worker who is, as it's more, it's even more complex than the caller described, meaning that, yes, that has happened. But worse is that because they are an exploitable labor force, that's what's happening. They're exploiting them. And many of them, it's like a double-edged sword. They employ them, and then they deport them, even before paying them. That's happening a lot. They're not even housing them.
And one of the things that I think that we really need to underscore, Roberto, is when we another issue that is going on in this immigration discussion, embedded in the discussion of that the immigrant workers work these jobs that other people don't work. Embedded in that is that black people won't take these jobs. That black people are not going to work these jobs. That there is a strikeout at black people in this discussion as well.
Well, see, that's what I was alluding to earlier. See, the moment we speak about that these are jobs that are supposed or that are for African Americans or for the poorest or, you know, illegal aliens, in other words, it's kind of like they've got us thinking they've already framed it wrong, because I would welcome competition at the level of scientists and professors and, you know, in other words, if we were arguing about, hey, they're taking our jobs at the university or they're taking our jobs, you know, that would be a welcome debate, because that means that we're talking about livable wages, you know, that jobs with dignity, with full humanity. And instead, what has happened is this society has remanded the poorest of the poor to the worst jobs in society, you know, with no bad pay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so people, see, that's what's happening. People automatically assume that the worst jobs in society are copyrighted for African Americans.
But, and then also in that, it said African Americans don't want the jobs. That they're not the workers for those particular jobs, when in reality it's a perfect type of a non-documented worker is a perfect type of labor for an exploitive employer.
No, that's what the whole point is about. That is, as people always say, if those jobs paid, you know, a decent wage, a livable wage with full health insurance, I mean, everybody would want those jobs.
And people would want them, and then people Americans, if you are a citizen of the United States, and if you are a person of African descent and a citizen of the United States,
Yeah. You're
not going to, you do not, you know what your choices are. They can't threaten you to come to work by saying, I'm going to deport your family if you don't come to work
right. And
take these wages. There is a hammer that they have, that unscrupulous employers have on non-documented workers that they don't have on American citizens.
Right. No, that's what it's about. And so it's kind of heartbreaking, because, you know, we, all of us live in the same society, meaning we all get the same media, you know, for the most part. And so we all start to believe, you know, that you know, that it's the workers. It's their problem, or they're the cause of the problem. They're the victims. You know, they're the ones being exploited. So we have to figure out ways. How can black and brown, how can all the workers, how can all the poor people, you know, how can we fight back? See, I'm from the school where we have to create another reality today. You know, we can't wait and simply react. That's why I'm telling you the solution is not going to come from government or from Congress. There is a model, which goes to the first question. There's a model for this. The European community, I don't remember how many members they are now because they keep adding. I think it's 27, I think, the number of countries that are part of the European community. Well, now they're the European
Union. The European Union, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the European community foresaw or had to plan ahead. They wanted to become the union, you know, but they couldn't do it overnight. They said, well, to bring in all these different countries, some of them are very poor, you know, very disparate. How do we join? How do we get? How do we all become one group? And so they had to do. It's about a 45-year plan. And so now things have equalized, and what you have is every member of the European Union, every worker can work in, say, a French worker can work in Spain, a worker from Portugal can work in Germany, and they do not lose their humanity, their human rights, or their citizenship as a result of crossing a border to work. That's what we need to create in this country. Here, we already, see, we have something similar. It's called NAFTA, and they're proposing CAFTA and then FTAA. Now, those are awesome agreements for business. You know, they're perfect because they continue that exploitation. Now, you know, with the problem with NAFTA, we'll start with NAFTA, is that they left the human element out, you know, both in all three countries. They had these discussions with the corporations, with big business, and said, how do we create a system that maximizes profits? And so you have NAFTA. You know, on the first day of NAFTA, I don't know if you remember this, 1994, January 1, that's when the Zapatistas went out, you know?
Mm.
That is, it was not coincidental. People knew what was going to happen. Maximum exploitation. People are losing their lands. And that's why you have mass migration. People have to leave their homes. It's not because they want to. You know, and they and not only that, they changed the constitution down there so that, like, now people not only are incapable of producing or making a livelihood, they also now have to sell their land. And that is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Zapatistas went out. So you have, it's not, there's no accidents here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens here happens there and vice versa. And so the whole point is this. If you have a NAFTA-type agreement, you have to include human beings because you cannot, in a moral sense, tell people your goods are welcome, your capital is welcome, your ideas are welcome, but leave the human beings at home or bring them as indentured servants.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the strategy, then that's what we're going to have. That's the recipe for what we have today.
And Roberto, where can people check out your writings?
Well, just write us because the website's too long. So it's xcolumn, that's xcolumn@gmail.com.
Very good.
And then we'll send you the info on the website, xcolumn@gmail.com.
Roberto Rodriguez, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back for your calls, questions, and comments in the next hour. Stay with me.
To give it to you. You were born with power. Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
If you take a 9-9-9 engine and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound at the below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
To the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. The price of gas is now up to a national average of $2.91 a gallon for regular and is expected to go higher. That's the bad news. ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas says the worst news is, even at that price, it's tough to find.
At gas stations scattered around Dallas over the weekend, handwritten notes on the pumps informed customers that the gas was gone. There is no sign posted at this 7-Eleven store, but when J.P. Bailey pulled up to gas up, he was told that only premium was available.
Well, it's kind of inconvenient just going from station to station, especially if you're in a hurry to go to work.
Some experts say it's only a temporary condition, a problem with supplies related to the switchover to summertime fuel blends. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
No word on whether they'll face charges, but five high school students in Riverton, Kansas are due in court today. They were arrested on suspicion of plotting a shooting spree at their school on the 7th anniversary of the Columbine attack. Police will patrol the halls of North Pole Middle School in Alaska today, following the weekend arrests of 6 7th graders there suspected of plotting their own school shooting. 9 other students have been suspended in connection with the alleged plan that included cutting phone and power lines to the school. Jurors could begin considering the life and death fate of confessed al-Qaeda conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui sometime today. ABC's Pam Coulter tells us closing arguments are due to begin soon.
After closing arguments, Zakarias Moussaoui's fate will be in the hands of 7 men and 3 women. The jury sat through 3 weeks of often heartbreaking testimony and will have to resolve conflicting assessments of Moussaoui's mental health and 9-11 family members who disagree over the final sentencing outcome.
Soccer moms in Iran are now welcome at the games. In a new decree posted on his website, Iran's president announced women will be allowed to attend the matches in a separate section of stands away from the normally raucous males. The decree goes on to say the presence of women and families will improve soccer watching manners and promote a healthy atmosphere. This is ABC News.
This year, the government's going to give out over $350 billion to people like you who want to start a business, go back to school, or train for a new job. I'm Matthew Lesko, and I've written over 70 books on government programs. You've probably seen me all over the television shows, on talk shows. My new program shows you 15,000 government sources, or you can get like $100,000 to open up a coffee shop, $15,000 to write a book, or $30,000 to become a French chef, $9,000 to take a computer course, or $15,000 to finish college, get a GED, or a PhD. There's money to travel overseas, train your employees, or work on your invention. I've done all the work. You just have to make the call. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO, and you'll get my book and 6-hour audio tape program for only 2 payments of $29.95 plus $7.50 postage and handling. There's a 90-day money-back guarantee. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO or 1-877-275-5375.
A strange story of a castaway is slowly unfolding in Norway. ABC's Linda Alvin has the view from the foreign desk.
He had hardly any clothes on and was frozen through and through. A kind of Robinson Crusoe, said one of those who plucked the man who calls himself George Williams from a raft found floating in international waters off Norway. At first it was thought that his raft, made from oil drums and planks, was a bit of debris. But when a Norwegian tanker approached, the crew spotted Williams, who explained in English that he'd been dumped by a British boat, although he didn't say why. The mystery man claims to have filed an application for permanent residence in the U.S. He says he wants to move to New York. His fingerprints have been forwarded to the U.S. Embassy in Stockholm for identification. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
Tiger Woods drove to victory again, but not in a golf tournament. This time, he was behind the wheel. Woods won one of the celebrity stock car races on a dirt track in New Zealand. And just as he does often in golf, he came from behind to do it. Woods was there for the wedding of his caddy. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's an update of WGNU News brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, registered travelers won't fly through security checkpoints at Lambert Airport anytime soon. The Transportation Security Administration is moving to phase two of the program, but airport officials here say they will not be among those issuing the biometric cards to travelers later this year. Lambert officials have expressed apprehensions about the program, but won't comment about the nature of their concerns, saying only they're still evaluating it. Airport authorities in other parts of the country have expressed misgivings about the program as well, saying that the program won't work if only a few airports offer it. In other news, former Missouri House Speaker Katherine Hanaway will be officially installed this morning as the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri. Hanaway was sworn in as the interim U.S. Attorney last July. She replaced James Martin, who resigned from the interim post after replacing now federal judge Ray Grunder. An investiture ceremony will take place this morning at the Eagleton Federal Courthouse in downtown St. Louis. In Jefferson City, Senator Kit Bond is seeking to give the National Guard more power under legislation he plans to introduce. Tammy Spicer, a spokesperson for the Missouri National Guard, says it's exciting that Bond is introducing new ideas that could help improve or change the way the Guard does business. Bond's legislation seeks to allow the National Guard Bureau to establish more formal relations with the Office of the Secretary of Defense. And finally, in Illinois, Congressman John Shimkus is encouraging his constituents to get educated about the Medicare Part D plan as the May 15th sign-up deadline nears. Shimkus says it's important for people to investigate the programs and then decide if they want to sign up. In Illinois alone, there are more than 40 plans that senior citizens are eligible for. Shimkus held two sign-up sessions in southern Illinois Friday to help seniors learn more about the program and enroll in the plan that's best for them. That's WGNU News, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games, Monopoly, Poker, Lucky Dough, and Bingo from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Contems. Eastbound 40 at Van Veterans Road Construction, right lane is closed. Traffic is heavy approaching Hampton. Eastbound 44 from Bowles Merrimack River. Look for heavy congestion going on there as well. Northbound 270 at 55 in Big Bend. Traffic is heavy this hour. Northbound 55 from 141 to Merrimack Bottom, look for slight delays. Eastbound 70 at Bryan and T.R. Hughes, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for very heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 40 at Earth City Expressway, road maintenance operations have left lane closed, expect delays. Westbound 40 at Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 at Murdoch and Shrewsbury, look for slight delays after an earlier accident was reported. Westbound 5570 at 64 and westbound 64 from 15th on into the PSB. Look for very slow volume going on there. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge traffic at the 5570 split all the way into LaCleach Landing. Very heavy traffic there as well. Clayton at 141, there's a report of an accident. And Page at Newstead, there's a report of traffic lights not working. They're on red flash, so treat it as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Accountemps, the world's first and largest specialized temporary financial staffing firm. Call or visit them today at Accountemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For the rest of today, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, and a possible thunderstorm, the high in the mid-70s. For this evening, look forward to showers and thunderstorms likely. For Tuesday, cooler, mostly cloudy in the morning, chance for showers, and then partly sunny in the afternoon, a high around 60. And for Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. But up next is more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Yeah.
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say the progress is being made. If you take a 99 back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound at the below, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brother.
Well, the hot truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied existence.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much. Much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Liz, how are you?
I am fine. How are you, XX Peter?
Fine. You know, Barry Lourdes talked about all the Americans that are moving to Mexico, especially in the Baja region, in the city of Ensenada and Mazatlan, for the sole purpose. Matter of fact, it's been over a million. For the sole purpose of living out the remainder of their life in retirement. And, you know, this was made possible with the revisions that were taken in the North America Free Trade Act, where Americans here on the mainland can finance property and finance homes to be built in Mexico. And Mexico itself changed some of its laws where it would be safer for the investment. So you've got a million, and there's upwards of over 40,000 that's supposed to be coming into this other area. So I wonder how the people in Mexico feel, seeing that you have so many Americans that's coming into their areas, their land, and taking desolate land and turning it into a paradise, whereas they're having problems for their immigrants to come here into this country. I thought very seriously very much would be done in order to curtail the immigration when you have a two-way highway, people coming this way and people going that way.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Gas prices across the country have jumped an average of nearly a quarter per gallon in the last 2 weeks. Self-service regular gas averaged $2.91 a gallon, up from $2.67 2 weeks ago. Mid-grade hit $3 a gallon, while premium climbed to an average of $3.10. This is from April 7th through April 21st. The lowest gasoline price was in Boise, Idaho, at $2.54 a gallon. Drivers in San Diego were paying the most for gas at $3.12 a gallon for regular gas. That's for regular, $3.12. Now, here's the thing. This is why it's just, Arlen Specter, is he a Republican or a Democrat? He's a Republican. You know what he's saying? The government should consider a tax on oil companies if they make excessive profits and rising gasoline prices, you think? So why isn't Ted Kennedy saying that? Why are we hearing this from Republicans? Oh, yeah, they're running for a re-election. They're running for re-election. Now, remember, the Republicans are the same people that wouldn't put these thieves and greedy sons of guns, they wouldn't put them under oath. Wouldn't put them under oath. The nation's largest oil companies have denied their industry size has affected prices. Senator Carl Levin, the Michigan Democrat, said that he believes that gas prices would come down within a matter of days if Bush told oil companies he was going to support a windfall profits tax. You know, show you right. Show you right. Earl, good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You're talking about the gas this morning.
That's right.
I can't believe that you complain about these big companies making a profit.
You know what?
How you dare? How dare you speak that way?
Just call me un-American and be done with it. Just call me un-American.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Oh.
You know, it's unbelievable.
It is greed beyond comprehension. The man, what was it, $300 million severance package.
Uh-huh. And I mean, I listen to some of these talk shows like this, Russ. I could only stand like maybe 10 seconds, and I had to just like get away. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's unbelievable how they say it's nothing wrong with what's going on. We weren't complaining 20 years ago when the oil was like $30 a barrel. We weren't saying anything then when the oil companies weren't making money. I mean, give me a break, you know?
Well, you didn't say anything else. You didn't say anything about robbers till you were robbed. So come on. I mean, Just because you hadn't seen the crime doesn't mean that a crime wasn't taking place.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they're stealing from us now. So, of course, we should say something about it. They're stealing from us.
Exactly. I mean, they make a huge problem. And the same people that saying you shouldn't complain about the oil price, they just like you could, you know, with your host your last hour, they're against the immigration or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's totally against that, but it's okay with the oil companies rip us off. I don't know.
It's crazy. Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. Marty.
Yeah, you know, Liz. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think what your last your guest was saying and what's going on now, it's time to stop. The people got to start realizing that the game players and all the pieces are in play, Republicans or Democrats. You know, all these game players and stuff in government need to be gotten out. The people need to realize that we need to vote for who's for the people who are going to do what we want instead of the people who are doing what big business wants, be they Republican, Democrat, or other, you know? And I think that's what time it is.
People need to take to the streets. People need to take to the streets. People need to engage themselves more fully in politics. They need to start weighing in on this, because the fact of the matter is we're being ganked. There is no reason on God's green earth that gasoline is the price a gallon that gasoline is. They're stealing from us. They are engaging in a greedy practice that is unfathomable and unprecedented, and we're letting them get away with it.
Well, you know, the real un-Americans are the people who are being practicing un-Americanism, or the big business people who are sitting up here judging the little guy who's trying to make it in the United States, and, you know, they're making tremendous profits off of it, and while everybody in government and business are making all these big deals for the next regime, whoever is going to get in, the trying to play this game where, you know, we're trying to give the little people the crumbs again. Let's get the Democrat regime in there so they can get a few of the crumbs. But we're still going to be living off the fat that we got when our buddies were in office.
Here's the thing. It's not that $4 a gallon of gas is too much. The fact of the matter is $1.75 a gallon of gas is too much. Okay? It is. We shouldn't be paying over $1 a gallon of gas. We should not be doing that. We should not. If they're making $300 million severance pay to somebody, we should be paying below $1 for gasoline.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, got to roll. Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. If a company is making the obscene and record-shattering profits that these companies are making, these gasoline companies are making, why are we paying over $1 a gallon for gas? Don't stop there. Don't just say that $3 a gallon is too much. No. $2 a gallon is too much. No. $1 a gallon is too much. It is too much. There is nothing in your world. Nothing in your world. Let me say this again. Nothing in your world that has gone up the rate that gasoline prices have gone up in the last 3 years. Nothing in your world has your salary increased that much. We're paying three times as much per gallon of gas than we were 3 years ago. Has anything in your life gone up with that kind of a rate? Of course not. Of course not. $1 and something cents a gallon is too much. Don't let them play you and say, okay, we won't let it get up to $4 a gallon. Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits. No. In a word, no. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, my sister.
Good morning, Charles Quincy Troop.
I hear you.
$1's too much.
You know, this is really crazy. You look at, and people really can't put this in no perspective, but if you look at the profits of the number one, what did that say, Mobil?
Exxon.
British Petroleum, any of them. Their profits are $40 to $50 billion a year. Billions, $40 to $50 billion a year. For $50 billion a year, you could educate every child in the United States for the next, 40, 50 years and send them through college. Easy. And that's the profit.
That's the profit.
Who needs that much profit?
That's a fact.
And that's a fact.
There is no company in the world that needs that much profit.
That's what I'm saying. You get a 300% increase. 300%. Or 100% a year. What goes up 100% a year?
Okay. Your salary? Does anybody's salary go up 100% a year?
Exactly. I mean, your salary is probably going up at 2%.
What's minimum wage? When's the last time minimum wage went up?
Less than $6 an hour. And minimum wage should not even exist. It should be a living wage,
mm-hmm.
which should be running about $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's the minimum you need to live.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $10 an hour basic rate of pay. And the welfare recipients with full benefits get $9 an hour.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then you out there working for $5.75 or $5.37 or whatever it is.
Mm.
It's crazy.
It's madness. And they're lying to us about the reasons why gas is going up.
Let me ask you this question. Let's look beyond that. The people in St. Clair, Charles, Phelps, Franklin, Jefferson County, all of these people that are driving into St. Louis to work every day, are they oblivious to this? What's happening to them?
I don't think so at all. I think that they cuss the whole way in. I think that they cuss, but they're confused right now. Is okay, now I got to get mad at the people that have always said have always been right about everything. now I have to find a way to get mad at these people because I can't blame this on anybody but the people that I have been supporting.
Okay, so you can't make this. Supported or oblivious to them?
They don't care about them.
They don't even see them.
They
right?
don't see them. They don't smell them. They don't even look at them.
Now, is that heavy?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Have a great day.
All right, Quince. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free 1-877 number is, oh, my goodness. Is 1-877-920-WGNU. Central Florida could pay the high price of gas in more ways than one. Tourists that were talked to in Daytona Beach said that the soaring pump prices will cause them to skip a trip to the area next year. Many gas stations in the Daytona Beach area have passed the $3 mark. Those who have come this far may not see other parts of Central Florida because of the sticker shock. I would love to see other parts of Florida, but to be honest, the gas prices being so high, I probably won't go down to any other parts. Orlando may be the only place we hit to go to Disney World. And check this out, motorists are not the only ones that are impacted by the gas prices. Boaters say that several cents more for fuel at the pumps or the docks, boaters pay more for gas when they fill their boats up than they do when they fill their cars up. One boater filled up his 400-gallon boat tank paying more than $1,000. Do you hear me? $1,000. Now, do they have more than one or two boats in Florida? Because if they only have a few boats, then I guess they don't have to worry about that. But how are people going to, first of all, you're driving around a vehicle that has a 400-gallon tank, first of all. These gas prices, and these gas prices are going to rock the world. And here's what's going to happen, y'all. Here's what's going to happen. As George Bush continues traveling around the world, traveling around the United States, trying to whip up support, please somebody just let me, just, you know, ignore everything. Please like me again. And please vote for Republicans. That's basically what his campaign is. Please like me again. No, I'm not changing anything. No, I'm not going to, I'm the decider. I'm the dictator. I am your moral compass. But please like me again. And the war is going good. And the war is going really, really good. But as he keeps going to these forums, he keeps hearing more and more. There's just going to be a story on NBC tonight about the high gas prices. Here's what's probably going to happen. He's going to make a few calls to his buddies. Prices are going to go down, then they're going to come up. They're going to go down, then they're going to come up. They're just going to keep taking us through those changes. Kind of like a menopausal thing that the gas prices are going to go through, the hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold type of a thing that they're going to take gas prices through. And then right around election time, gas prices are going to go down. Because all it takes is a phone call from George Bush to say, look, take the prices down. And the senator from Illinois was absolutely right. If George W. Bush said tomorrow that we are going to have a tax on excessive profits, gas prices would go down the next day. And they'd come up with some strange lie, you know, aliens brought in new gasoline supplies. Now we can charge, gas prices are cheaper. They would come up with some crazy explanation and lower the prices. Because trust me, they have come up with some crazy explanations to defend the higher prices. You tell me about, well, we all, what kind of madness is that? We all switch over at the same time. And it works to your benefit, right? It doesn't work to our benefit. Prices don't go down when you're switching over. Prices go up, so it works to your benefit. Ooh, Lord. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
What you say, Liz? Aliens?
You know, they'll find some way. They'll find some explanation to explain why the gas prices went down if George got on the air and said that.
That's right. Yeah. I want to talk to you about the immigration deal as well. Okay, now my thing is, why we can't see that they're trying to divide and conquer again? I mean, older people, I'm talking about basically my generation, black people, we know what they did to us. You know, they divided us with color, they divided us with the field hand, the house person, you know. They divide us on every end, economics. And when it comes to Mexicans, here we are, instead of us trying to get together to really stamp out all of this mess that's going on, we're letting them divide us so that we can fight against them and we can stop seeing what they're really doing to us as a whole. Now, I don't know a lot about white people because I don't deal with them as much, but I do know they're sitting on top. You know, whatever goes with them, they're going to be, they consider themselves, well, you know, if things don't change, my child has a chance of being on top.
Well, actually, I think that there's some of that divide and conquer that's going on too, because there's only a handful of unearned privileged white males that are sitting on top.
But
okay.
They don't seem like they really get it. I hear them talk on this radio I had a job, I worked two jobs, and I made it. Well, if you work two jobs, that means that my mom couldn't get a job. You know, but then look at what's going to happen with these oil prices. If you are paying, you're running around with your gas in your car, cooking, heating, I mean, everything. And then the things in the stores come going up because I used to be a truck driver. You cannot drive a truck and pay all that money and make a profit and take stuff across the country
without charging us. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me.
Steady and strong.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr. You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your 6-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works Spring Special. Westbound 40 between Hanley and 170. Look for an accident. Right lane is blocked with emergency equipment and traffic backed up near Hampton. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer is road construction. Right lane's closed and it's heavy approaching Hampton. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler to Watson. Look for no problems. Report there. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks to Old Halls Ferry looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Woods Mill all the way into Mason Road. Look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 from Cape Blanchett. Blanchett Bridge. Look for maintenance operations having left lane closed. Westbound 78 Earth City Expressway, there's maintenance operations having left lane closed there, so there should be some tie-ups going on there. Northbound 270 at 40 and Ladue has returned back to normal. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 to the 5570 merge. And you can expect some slight delays there as well. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. There's still delays on that ramp, as well as westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 into Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 61 at 55. Look for an injury accident. And South Hanley at Eager. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Granite Works Spring Special. Granite Works is having a huge spring special. Some of the most unique granite you'll ever see, starting at $38 a square foot. Mention the spring sale and get $100 off. Call 862-6300. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy, chance of showers today, high mid-70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, with a low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, cooler, mostly cloudy, chance of showers in the morning, then partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 60. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61 as well. Stay tuned for more Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hey everyone, this is Mark Hinderleiter. Tune in to my show, Lessons in Leadership, at 8 o'clock every Monday night. Each week, I'll talk with high-level leaders in business, government, education, and the community about current leadership topics. This show is like a weekly MBA class, and you can attend from home or in your car. Get the leadership edge you need by listening to Lessons in Leadership, Monday nights at 8 o'clock on WGNU.
Hike the Broken Ridge Trail at the Powder Valley Conservation Center in Kirkwood on Tuesday, May 2nd from 1 to 2:30. See wildflowers, trees, and birds in this walk for adults. Register by calling 314-301-1500. Something for hikers from Radio Free St. Louis.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll-free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. For most Americans, their gasoline prices are an annoyance and a hardship. There are people like Keith and Edith Taylor of Baltimore. Okay. They're trying to make their monthly Social Security checks of less than $1,700 last by cooking casseroles and soups at home instead of eating out, foregoing new clothes as long as possible, And now with gasoline pump prices averaging $2.85 a gallon, they say that they simply cannot afford the 80-mile round-trip visit to their daughter more than once a month. There and back is $10 worth of gasoline. That's what 84-year-old Kenneth, who used to make the trip with his Buick LeSabre at least every other week. Recent government and industry data shows that America's consumption of gasoline is not rising as rapidly as it was this time last year, you think? Families on living on a fixed or modest incomes are the first ones to cut back. If prices continue to rise, other demographic groups are expected to trim their gasoline consumption. Our young adults who tend to have less pocket change than their elders, and people who live in rural parts of Texas and Wyoming where long drives are a routine part of life. Jim Magnana, a sheep rancher and executive vice president of the Wyoming Stock Growers Association, says it requires a lot of transportation fuel to manage crops and livestock. And that makes it difficult to significantly cut back on consumption. And because most ranchers live 30 miles or more from the closest grocery store or bank, they may make one trip to town per week instead of two. And according to the president of Cameron Hanover, Inc., an energy market advisory firm, they're saying that if there's going to be any significant decline in energy prices this year, it's going to start with people not buying gas. People are going to stop buying gas. And people it's clear, people are just going to stop buying gas. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Always a pleasure to listen to your program.
Well, thank you.
When you were talking about the gas down in Florida, $3 a gallon,
mm-hmm.
You know, usually marina gas is like roughly a dollar more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that boat would cost $1,600 to fill up.
Wow.
The reason why I did call you, though, is that there's a state senator here in town on this emissions program that is trying to block it. That, you know, when you were talking about the poor people earlier,
mm-hmm.
with the struggles with trying to afford gas, and in this silly emissions program that we got, with the older cars being hit with these monster, charges as far as getting things repaired, it's going to be really difficult for people to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So Joan Bray is telling the voters, hey, I don't like you. So basically what I'm going to do is implement this program so it's going to be even tougher on you. And I do have her phone number up in Jeff City.
Okay.
It's area code 573-751-2514.
Very good.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank
Keep
you, Barry.
Great work.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. April.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Liz. I had a suggestion. I've been talking to my friends about it, and I've been trying to figure out what if we had a day or how do you think it would happen if we had a day where no one made a gas purchase? When I was living in Nevada, we did a similar thing where the black community used $2 bills to make purchases for like 2 months, just to let people be aware of how strong the dollar was in the African American community. And so I'm wondering how do you think it would affect the gas prices if just for one day a week, maybe if people in the community would just say, we refuse to buy gas. I mean, you fill up the day before, and you don't buy gas, say, on a Wednesday.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. There are two ways of approaching this. One way is to, okay, we could target our anger. We could target our anger at Exxon. They're the ones that made the record profits. They're the ones that paid the dude $300 million for severance pay and not buy any Exxon gasoline. That's one way of doing it, to target a particular gasoline company. because they all hang together. So that would be one way to do it. It would also, I mean, if it was a no gas Wednesday, I think that would be a great idea as well. On Wednesday, we don't buy gas. But see, what happens is that people will fill up on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you fill up on Tuesday, so you don't buy gas on Wednesday, and they're still getting their money.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, but it would still send a strong message to say, this is how you're going to be affected. You know, just give them an example. On this day, you're not making any profit. And
but
it would still send a message.
Well, my concern is that would it send a message that they're not making profit? Because if you filled up on Tuesday rather than buy on Wednesday, you just pushed your Wednesday buy to Tuesday. Okay, so then
yeah.
that company is still making their money. They're just making it on Tuesday and not Wednesday.
Right. And
so if you stopped buying entirely from one type of gas station, that makes a big statement because they're not getting any of your money.
Well, how could we disseminate that? That's something else we thought about. How could we get the word out? Today is the day that we discontinue gas purchases from, like you said, Exxon. How would you disseminate that information?
I think that this is where the web, this is where the net, this is where I think that modern-day technology gets that out. How do people find out? How do 500,000 people know to come and march in the streets of L.A.?
That is true.
The Internet.
That is true.
The Internet had a lot to do with it, and I got to go, April, but thanks for that. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake-Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Stay with me.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Connect Care. Still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline, Washington. Homeland Security is looking for bids from contractors to develop systems that will protect airliners from shoulder-fired missile attacks. 2 years ago, Northrop Grumman and BAE got $45 million contracts to convert infrared laser-based technology used by the military to a system that can detect a missile and fire a laser beam at it to jam the guidance system of the weapon. Homeland Security wants to develop other countermeasures that are not based on that technology, but right now only has $7 million appropriated for the development program. And Dateline London. Transplant specialists in Great Britain have accused China of harvesting the organs of prisoners who are put to death and then putting those organs for sale on the world market. The British Transplantation Society says there is mounting evidence that China is engaging in this macabre practice without getting the consent of the people involved. The chair of the society's ethics committee says China is coming up with exact organ matches in less than a week, and that is an indication that prisoners may be put to death by special selection. Chinese officials deny the allegations and say rules will be toughened in July so that selling organs will be completely illegal and donors will have to give written permission. But the donor organ market is very profitable, and there is a huge veil of secrecy around all executions carried out in China. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Don't forget, MELSCASH.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Does life just seem to happen to you? No plan, no direction? If it does, you're not alone. Join two life coaches, Sandy and Bobby, for an exciting and fun hour of learning how to create the designed life. We'll talk about principles of success, we'll take your calls, and provide coaching to help you achieve the life you desire. Tune in Monday nights at 9 p.m. to The Designed Life on WGNU.
He was sitting on the side of the bed reading old love letters. Tears were slowly rolling down her cheek. He walked over and put his hand on her shoulder. Up and smiled and started to speak. She said,
Jim Stafford's got a brand new show, 335-8080.
See Jim Stafford's brand new show, 335-8080.
Go see Jim Stafford and take someone you love.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Alone, I was lost in the world of strangers. No one to trust. On my own, I was lonely. You suddenly appeared. It was cloudy before. Now it's all clear.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. Get to me. Tyrone, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I was calling because I overheard you earlier talking about the gas prices and boycotting. And it was an email floating around, you know, concerning that, saying that we need to boycott ExxonMobil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was two other companies. I can't remember, but I know ExxonMobil was one of them. I still have the email, so if I can, later on this evening, I can go ahead and try and forward it to your email.
That would be great. That would be great. Because, I mean, to me, that makes the most sense because what people will do, if you have a one day that you're not going to buy gas, you're going to fill up the next day.
Right. That's just like at a restaurant. You know, if you go to a certain restaurant, they may be slow one day, you know, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, but Friday, you know, you may have like 2,000 customers come through.
There you go. So it doesn't matter if it was slow on Monday or Tuesday.
Yep. And one more quick comment I wanted to make is I was watching McLaughlin Group Sunday morning, and they had a bunch of healthcare people on, and one of them was CEO for Pfizer, and they was asking them why is healthcare costs rising, and you know what the CEO of Pfizer, you know, he had the nerve to say. I mean, you know, it's not a surprise to me, but, you know, he just basically said that Americans need to take care of themselves more better. I was like, never mind that whatever it, that most of the majority of the foods you eat, you know, has, you know, all different types of attitudes.
Well, let's even say that that's not the case. Let's say that's not the case. Do you know how expensive it is to eat healthy? It is so expensive to eat healthy. It's expensive to eat healthy. And difficult. You go into stores in urban areas, and you many of the grocery stores will have all of the cheap stuff. Will not be your fruits, will not be your vegetables. The cheap stuff will be the stuff that is bad for you.
Right, the junk food.
There you go. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know what? This is how I personally boycott the oil companies every Thursday. I had to get on a bus, and a few of my friends, we all catch a cab. And, you know, that takes 7 or 8 cars off the roads. Everybody would just get up and try to get on the bus.
Now, that's the challenge to that, Kevin, is that bus services have been cut so drastically in my neighborhood. I was ticked off when I was over at the promenade over by the Galleria promenade.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There's a Dierbergs in there and a bunch of different stores. There used to be a Ultimate Electronics. There's a Best Buy near it, right off of 40. And the MetroLink is going right by that. Right by that. Now, there's not a MetroLink. There is no MetroLink service in North St. Louis. As far north as MetroLink goes is on Del Mar.
That's it.
Why isn't the MetroLink? Why doesn't the MetroLink come north? With all of the people that have to go north, south, east, west, and where the population uses the MetroLink, uses public transportation, city population uses it more than any other, there's a MetroLink station right there at a place where, and this is what I was just so upset about. There is a MetroLink station, brand new station that hasn't opened yet, in a place where there weren't businesses 5 years ago.
Right.
There were businesses there 5 years ago.
But you know what, Liz? Absolutely. We need to fight for more public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a way of boycotting. But you know, if you can't find it, you can call a cab once a week. Cabs are expensive. But just do it once a week.
That way you wouldn't be putting any gas in your car. That's
done.
Okay.
And you
all
can
right.
put 3 or 4 people in one cab.
There you go.
Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I had a couple of topics here. One was global warming, but let me make a quick comment on that. I think we should have, you know, they used to have like a national carpool day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can, you know, people who are traveling, you know, 20 miles or more, maybe every Friday, you know, people with minivans and stuff like that, you know, they put their money together and pay for some gas and drive to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in the summertime, they're jacking these prices up because they know Americans cannot resist vacation and using these big SUVs and
gas demands.
So
gas demands.
Not doing any summer traveling.
Well, gas demands are already down from last year. So it's all people's habits are changing slowly but surely. But people's habits are changing. Gas demand is down from this time last year, and prices are up.
One last thing before I get to the one question about global warming, I see a lot of people who just do a lot of needlessly shopping. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we can cut down on only shopping for necessities and stop all that that friend shopping where you know you can wait. You know, instead of shopping 3 or 4 times a week, you know, you do one good shop, and that way you can save your gas and you ain't got to keep going back and forth to the store. And the last thing, CNN did a special on global warming, Liz, and I didn't know how bad it was. I mean,
it's horrible.
It's gotten real bad, and the polar bears are dying off. They say Antarctica, whatever part of the United States, where the ice used to be like 20 feet deep, thick. Now they say it's down to like 2 feet.
It's awful. It's awful. But according to George Bush, global warming doesn't exist.
Well, then New Orleans is going to be swampland because they say it's causing one of the reasons New Orleans is sinking because of the global warming. Water's got to go somewhere.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Take it easy.
Charles.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Maybe just me, but has anybody noticed that the talking heads, particularly on on the Fox News channel, they seem to be jumping over each other trying to low-rate and, talk bad about this young lady who was raped. Now they find out that they think there was a date rape drug on this, and I believe it. I believe that's from the beginning, though.
It is very consistent that the news station that Dick Cheney insists that his television stations are tuned to when he walks into his hotel room, it makes sense that they would, of course, pick the side of the rapist, the accused rapist, as opposed to the person who said that she was raped. That's how they roll. Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back with Mondays at 9 in my next hour. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Some motorists say rising gas prices make them want to scream. ABC's Jim Hickey is listening to their pleas for mercy.
A sense of frustration seems to be settling across the land about gas prices, about oil companies.
Really, what can you do? You know, they've got us, right?
Even the president seems stymied.
We got a real problem when it comes to oil. We're addicted.
Some in Congress, including Democrat Ted Kennedy, want to go after big oil.
Recapture these excessive profits that are going to the oil industry.
Average Americans are finding more immediate relief. USA Today reports a big upturn in the use of mass transit. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
There is a small bright spot in energy news. The price of crude oil edged down slightly. It dropped beneath the record high of over $75 a barrel it hit last week. CIA analysts have not yet confirmed that the voice on a new audio tape airing on Al Jazeera TV is indeed that of Osama bin Laden, but intelligence experts tell the White House it probably is. Former government anti-terrorist czar Richard Clark says it includes new threats against Westerners.
People in the United States who support the government, that's any American. Any American who's not fighting the government is therefore a target, he says. But I don't know that he has the ability to command anybody to actually attack in the United States.
Two alleged school shooting plots are under investigation, one in Riverton, Kansas, where five high school students are due in court for a bond hearing, and another in North Pole, Alaska, where six seventh graders are under arrest for allegedly hatching a similar plan. They could face conspiracy to commit murder charges. Do you have the urge to purge all reminders of good love gone bad? Curators at the Museum of Broken Relationships in Croatia invite you to send them any items that trigger bad memories for you. They display love letters, engagement rings, even empty liquor bottles. One of the more poignant exhibits, the artificial leg of a veteran who fell in love with his therapist. The note attached reads, "The prosthesis lasted longer than our love. Better material." This is ABC News.
This year, the government's going to give out over $350 billion to people like you who want to start a business, go back to school, or train for a new job. I'm Matthew Lesko, and I've written over 70 books on government programs. You've probably seen me all over the television shows, on talk shows. My new program shows you 15,000 government sources, where you can get like $100,000 to open up a coffee shop, $15,000 to write a book, or $30,000 to become a French chef, $9,000 to take a computer course, or $15,000 to finish college, get a GED, or a PhD. There's money to travel overseas, train your employees, or work on your invention. I've done all the work. You just have to make the call. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO, and you'll get my book and six-hour audio tape program for only two payments of $29.95 plus $7.50 postage and handling. There's a 90-day money-back guarantee. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO or 1-877-275-5375.
Immigration will be in the spotlight today when President Bush delivers a speech in California. ABC's Ann Compton is traveling with the president.
Here in Southern California, where the issue is red hot, President Bush will be emphasizing the word comprehensive, pressing for immigration reform that combines tougher enforcement at the border and a guest worker program allowing some illegals to remain in the U.S. The White House has been claiming Congress has the votes for both, and personally blames Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid for not allowing this to come to a final vote. Ann Compton, ABC News, Palm Springs.
A simple trip outside to pick up the Sunday paper became extremely complicated when a 71-year-old man fell through rain-soaked ground and into a cesspool in his front lawn. Things got more complicated when his son and neighbor tried to help him and got sucked in as well. The son says it was like a horror picture. All three survived, covered in sewage, but not badly hurt. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Time for a report of WGNU News. This update is brought to you by Missouri's Air Traffic Controllers. I'm Peyton Colston. As the May 15th deadline approaches for seniors to sign up for the Medicare Part D plan, Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is urging his constituents to get educated. The Illinois Republican says there are more than 40 plans in the state of Illinois alone.
There's a lot of options because the way that the legislation was written, there's the catastrophic issue, the hole in the donut, the copay issue, or the monthly premium issue. And so you can really develop a plan that best fits the individual need.
Shimkus says he wants to make sure people know the options available to them, and then if they want to sign up, they know which option is best. Shimkus held two sign-up sessions in Southern Illinois Friday to help seniors learn more about the program. In other news, as gas prices continue to increase, drivers are looking for ways to save money. As part of National Tire Safety Week, tire safety experts are offering tips on how to keep your tires properly inflated and save gas money. Kim Weber of the Rubber Manufacturers Association says most drivers know that keeping your tires properly inflated will get you better gas mileage. According to AAA, properly inflated tires can help save as much as 9 cents a gallon at the gas pump. And finally this hour, students at the George Warren Brown School of Social Work at Washington University are preparing to host their annual international festival this week. This year's event will feature a forum bringing together local Christian, Muslim, and Jewish leaders to discuss issues of justice. The festival takes place Thursday and Saturday. All events are free and open to the public. For more information, contact the George Warren Brown School of Social Work at Washington University. That's a report of WGNU News this hour, brought to you by Missouri's Air Traffic Controllers. The FAA is imposing a contract on Missouri's air traffic controllers. One in four could retire. Call Senator Talent at 1-877-FAIR-FAA and tell him to stop this risky plan. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 40 at Laclede Station, there's an accident. The exit ramp is partially blocked. Traffic is heavy near Hampton. Eastbound 44 from Gray Summit to the Pacific Viaduct. Look for road construction there. There's about a 30-minute delay through the work zone. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge to Chain Rocks Bridge with bridge maintenance operations having the lanes reduced to one lane. In fact, there's a number of construction areas going on, so just use caution and give yourself a break. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic is easing this hour. Page at Newstead, those traffic lights are not working. They are on red flash. Treat that as a four-way stop. Northbound 94 at Mid Rivers Mall, look for an accident reported, and also Natural Bridge at Union, there's a report of the traffic lights not working there as well, so treat that as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games. Monopoly, Poker, Lucky Dough, and Bingo, all from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy, a chance of showers this morning with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, cooler, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon, high around 60. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. And then on Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 61 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 58. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. It's Mondays at 9. She has a special guest coming up. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. revolution in the air. Come on, brother, how can you stand?
Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome. It is time for that part of the show where we take an hour to dissect an issue that has been percolating through our media, that has been percolating through our consciousness, that has really hasn't been discussed in any kind of depth or with any kind of detail. That's what we do here at Mondays at 9, and I am Liz Brown, to get us through this process. Every day, we hear discussions, comments, positions, or attitudes taken about the insurgency that is going on in Iraq. And we need to talk about that, because words... words matter. Words are a big deal, and the words that are being used help define the world as we know it. We need to talk about insurgency. We need to talk about a concept of counterinsurgency. And we're going to do that with a former Marine infantry officer, William Christie. He's going to facilitate that conversation. He's joining us somewhere in the western part of North Carolina. William, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. You wrote this article, The Theory of Counterinsurgency in 6 Easy Paragraphs. What was the reason behind this? What made you, what propelled you to do this?
Well, I'm, as you mentioned, I'm a former Marine Corps infantry officer, and I'm also an author, and I've written 5 novels. The latest is Threat Level, which is currently in paperback from Pinnacle Books. And I also write commentaries for the website Defense in the National Interest, mainly on national security issues. And I had written a couple of them, one on Iraq and one on Iran. And I had been talking to one of my neighbors about the commentary. And he was giving me the usual perspective that you hear from people, which is all you hear is good news from the administration about how everything is going well in Iraq, and all you hear is bad news from the media. And he was wondering which is correct. And I said, well, they might both be right, because in counterinsurgency, you can win all the battles and still lose the war.
So you went to and you took 6 paragraphs to explain how this works, right?
Well, he kind of wanted a down and dirty view of what counterinsurgency is, how you combat insurgents, how you take on guerrillas. And he didn't want something that was huge and long and indigestible. And he gave me a very good idea that I would write the theory of counterinsurgency in just 6 paragraphs, and I would do it in the form of a parable that Americans could understand, that was not set in another culture, that was set in our culture.
And that's really the key, is set in American culture, because Americans really have a difficult time, because Americans are really not taught about other cultures. Americans really express very little interest in other cultures. And America is isolated geographically. I mean, we have Canada above us and Mexico beside us.
Well, that's one of the roots of our problem in Iraq, Liz, is the fact that Americans just don't relate to foreign cultures. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know the stereotype of the loud Bermuda short, ugly American tourist in a foreign country.
Who speaks English and English louder.
Exactly. That all foreigners understand English if only you speak it loudly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, the U.S. military has that same kind of problem, too. So this is why, in order to explain what counterinsurgency is, I said it in America.
And the other one other anecdotal thing that I think is a good it's a good point that to demonstrate how we don't get it is the what happened to Babylon. And how we built a helicopter port right there on the ruins of Babylon without apology or you know, even with an attitude.
Well, you know, the attitude is usually military necessity.
Mm-hmm.
That we need a helicopter port, or we need to do we need to put a base here, and we really just, okay, this is the spot I want, and let's do it. And we really don't kind of consider the impact of our actions, which is what gets us into a lot of trouble in Iraq.
So you said it here in America, and please take your time and walk us through this parable.
All right, just consider that you live in a neighborhood, and the house next to you is sold, and the people who move in seem initially fine, but you discover pretty soon that they're white supremacists. And then you discover that they've started up a methamphetamine lab in their basement. Well, you don't like that kind of situation at all. You've got kids. You've got a wife. So you think about calling the local police department, but you're not so sure. You see the cops around, and, you know, they strike you as maybe none too swift, and the only time you ever see them is in the mall, or two cruisers parked side by side, the deputies gossiping and waiting for the next radio call instead of being on patrol. You're afraid that if you tell them about your neighbors, the news is going to leak out, someone will talk, and you'll get your house burned down one night. And you certainly don't want that to happen. So you stay quiet. You don't say anything, but your scary neighbors are worrying you more and more. Then one day the local SWAT team shows up to serve a warrant, kicks down your neighbor's door, and drags them off to jail. You're pleased. You're relieved. You say, okay, the next time the police department is doing some charity work, I'm going to write them a check. And if I happen to see one of the deputies patrolling the neighborhood, I'm going to tell him that if he sees me out in the yard, stop by and I'll let him know what's going on in the neighborhood, which is the kind of situation that everyone would want to have. But now let's shift that scenario to a slightly different universe where the Bill of Rights doesn't apply. The local police department gets the word that someone in the neighborhood is cooking meth. They don't know who, but since no one in the neighborhood is telling them anything, they think everyone might be white supremacists. So one night they kick down your door looking for the meth lab. They point guns at your kids and your wife. They scare them half to death. When they search your home, they break your furniture, and they're throwing your belongings everywhere, and they're handling your wife's underwear, and they slap you around trying to get you to tell them where the meth lab is. By this time, you've forgotten all about your scary neighbors. You just want to get even with the cops, which I think is the natural human tendency. So even worse, let's say that the cops find out exactly where the meth lab is, but they're afraid of the neighborhood, and they don't want to get shot at taking down the lab. So they call in a fighter bomber, and they drop a 500-pound guided bomb on your neighbor's house. Well, that takes care of the meth lab, but it also blows down one wall of your house, it breaks every window, and it destroys the car you need to get to work every day. You don't know what you're going to do. A couple of nights later, another neighbor comes to your door and says he's making a bomb to blow up the next patrol car that comes down the road. And would you help him dig the hole for $100? Well, you'd probably do it for nothing, wouldn't you?
Mm. What has been your response to, or what has been the response to this parable of yours?
Well, yeah, it's funny, Liz, because I had written longer commentaries on Iraq and Iran, and but this one just struck a nerve. I got emails from people who it seemed to really speak to them.
It broke it down.
It broke it down for them. And I also got an enormous number of emails from people in the military that said that they were going to use it to illustrate counterinsurgency for their own troops, and even from the various war colleges, including from Britain, that thought it was a good thumbnail sketch of a complex subject.
So how would they use it? How would a military college, how would they use it?
Well, I think they would use it as a means of instilling the right attitude in people, because the way the U.S. military generally works, and this is the problem that the U.S. military runs into in counterinsurgency, is that the U.S. military tends to emphasize large numbers of men, machines, direct and violent action, which in conventional war works really well. I mean, this is why we invaded Iraq and we took over Iraq in the space of 1 month. The problem with counterinsurgency is that it's almost 180 degrees away from conventional warfare. In conventional warfare, you locate, close with, and destroy the enemy using the absolute maximum amount of force that you possibly can. In counterinsurgency, you actually want to kill people as a last resort. The first thing that you want is to induce your opponent to defect and come over to your side. Your second priority really is to try to capture them. And your third priority only then is to kill them. And if you do have to kill them in a military operation, you want to make absolutely sure that you don't hurt any bystanders whatsoever while you're doing this.
Because if you do...
Well, in any kind of situation, I mean, let's say that you were walking down a street in St. Louis and... some people that wanted to ambush some police all of a sudden shot at the nearest patrol car that was coming down the street between you and them. And what the police did was, let's just say the police were all in armored vehicles with 25-millimeter cannons and machine guns, and not knowing where the source of the fire was coming from, they started firing down the whole street.
Mm.
And the next thing you know, you've been wounded, perhaps some of your friends have been wounded, perhaps some of your friends have been killed. In any normal human response, and sometimes that we tend to think of people in other cultures as the other in a certain respect, and think that they don't react the same way we would, you would kind of want to join the people that were shooting at the cops after that happened.
But don't we kind of have that in America already? When we look at people in different, let's just say urban living versus suburban living, there's a different type of reality in terms of how policing is done, what is acceptable in policing, and what is not acceptable in policing. High-speed car chases here in St. Louis are accepted in the city, but are not accepted in the county.
Well, this is a common problem.
Mm-hmm.
You could even use the parallel of Iraq to the point of view of an inner city neighborhood where certain gangs control certain streets and certain areas, and the police are basically in squad cars responding to 911 calls back and forth, but never in the community, so the community is basically at the mercy of the gang.
And everybody in the community is looked at as a gang member.
Well, it becomes, I mean, this is a counterinsurgency attitude is that if you are a soldier, let's not even say a police officer, but if you're a soldier that's in your Humvee patrolling back and forth in a certain neighborhood, and you're just waiting to be ambushed, and you're just waiting for an improvised explosive device, a car bomb, to go off, and if these things had happened to you before and killed your friends, you tend to look at everyone in the neighborhood as your potential enemy, which from a counterinsurgent standpoint is exactly what you don't want to do.
Mm. You talked about the conventional warfare.
Yes.
When was the last time our government engaged in a conventional warfare?
Well, the conventional warfare was the actual invasion of Iraq.
Was that the right method to take?
Well, we can go into right and wrong and motives forever, whether the invasion of Iraq was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do.
And motives aside, just strategy.
Motives aside, if you're going to invade a country and occupy it, that's the way you do it.
Conventional warfare. And how long do you do it?
Well, see, now you've come to the crucial question, because when you invade a country, this is the thing that mystifies people in the military about the administration, is the idea that we were going to be met with people throwing flowers at us.
Has it ever happened? Outside of the end of World War II?
Well, in the end of World War II, and it didn't even happen then. we liberated France, and they threw flowers at us. We occupied Germany, and they did not throw flowers at us.
Mm.
And the other thing, and this is what the whole controversy of, I'm sure you've been reading about the former generals that are criticizing Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, the whole question is the number of troops that we initially put into Iraq. And this is the thing that bothers people in the military, because at the end of World War II, we occupied Germany, which is actually slightly smaller as far as land area than Iraq, although it had a larger population. We occupied Germany with 60 divisions. We occupied Iraq with 3.5 divisions.
Mm.
And we occupied a Germany that was really just a pile of smoking rubble that had the fight knocked out of it.
What's 60?
With 60. Well, 60 U.S. divisions and probably 25 to 30 British and Free French divisions and another 200 Russian divisions coming in from the other side.
We weren't occupying Germany with an understanding or a belief that there were weapons of mass destruction there. We weren't going in with that type of an understanding.
Well, Germany was a weapon of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
As far as weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, again, that's the other whole issue of the rationale for the war. But I think if you look back in history, you'll see that the U.S. governments generally have rationales for wars. Even in World War II, Franklin Delano Roosevelt felt that we were eventually going to get into a war with Germany in particular. And I think if you look at history, you'll see that U.S. Navy destroyers were shooting at German U-boats before Pearl Harbor,
mm-hmm.
in the summer of 1941. The Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Recent documents sort of show that, according to communications intercepts, the National Security Archive at George Washington University has some very interesting documents that there may not have even been any North Vietnamese gunboats there at the time during the Gulf of Tonkin incident.
Well, could you hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break.
Oh, sure.
And I'd like to get back to more of this conversation. I am talking to William Christie, former Marine infantry officer. He's joining us from the western part of North Carolina. He has written an article about understanding the concept of counterinsurgency in 6 easy paragraphs. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us. Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of a flood may be impossible to avoid, but you can avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. After a flood, salespeople go from door to door in damaged neighborhoods offering cleanup or repair services. While many of these business people are honest and reputable, others are not. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. Get everything in writing, demand references, and check them out. A catastrophe greatly magnifies the opportunity for fraud. Don't be tempted to conspire in an insurance claim. Insurance fraud is a felony. For more tips about avoiding disaster fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Don't forget, MELS. CASH.com.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
I went down to the county fair. They had a talking chicken there. I paid a quarter just to see what she had to say. Well, she looked around. She said,
"The Pepper's got a brand new show, but I'm 335-8080.
Go see Jim Stafford. Don't be chicken."
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
The world still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Don't forget that Mondays at 9, as well as all of the Wake Up Call, is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, you can go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. Also check out lizbrown.com. My guest this morning for Mondays at 9 is former Marine Infantry Officer William Christie. He's joining us from the western part of North Carolina. He has written an intriguing article, Understanding the Concept of Counterinsurgency in 6 Easy Paragraphs. William, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We were talking about the idea of conventional warfare and how we use that partially when we went into Iraq, but not when you were continuing with that thought.
Well, the problem was is that in order to conquer Iraq, for lack of a better word, what we had to do was basically destroy the power of the Iraqi state while we were in the process of invading it. Let me use another parable as if this had taken place in St. Louis. Imagine that the power of the state in St. Louis today suddenly disappeared in the next 15 minutes. You went to call 911 and no one answered. The police vanished from the streets. Who would be the best equipped to deal with that kind of situation? Well, professional criminals, of course, particularly criminal gangs, people that are used to dealing with violence. And in that kind of situation, when the state power disappears, even otherwise law-abiding people might think that it was a good time to pick up that big screen TV. Am I right? This is what happened in Iraq. The power of the state vanished. People who were poor and people who were not decided that this was a good chance to get what they wanted, and the country was basically looted right down to the ground. And at that point, the absence of the power of the state, criminal gangs took over, and the elements of the Ba'ath Party, which was Saddam Hussein's party, were already organized to a certain extent, maybe not as much as we would like to think, to continue the fight in a guerrilla warfare type of situation. As a citizen of that in that kind of situation in St. Louis, say, you know, what would you try to do next? You'd probably try to obtain some weapons, and you'd try to band together with as many like-minded people as possible for protection.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of human society, really, except the criminals have the jump on you, along with maybe, you know, the group of former officials, and they're a lot better at violence than you are. And after a while, in this vacuum, all of a sudden, another group comes in, let's just say the American military. But they're not your military in St. Louis, they're another military.
Mexican military.
The Mexican military is a good example. They don't speak the same language, and they drive in and out, and they say they're going to do things for you, and they hand out soccer balls, and they give candy to the kids and all that. Then they get back on their vehicles and they go back to their base. Their base isn't in your neighborhood. Their base is somewhere else, and it's ringed with barbed wire, and it has its own generators, it has its own water supply, and it has its own food and everything else. And they come out of that base periodically and drive up and down the streets.
And you, by the way, don't have grocery stores, no longer have electricity, don't have access to water.
Exactly. And what they're basically saying is that our security is paramount over your security. And this was the first mistake that we made in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and out of your neighborhood, and they tell you all the great things they're going to do for you. But the problem is that these criminal gangs, they're living right there among you. And if you decide you're going to help these new people in their tanks and armored vehicles and everything, the criminals are going to come visit you at night, and they're going to kill you, and they're going to kill your family. And this is the essence of counterinsurgency, that you have to control the whoever controls the population is going to win.
And don't we also have to add to that the Mexican military, and they say that they're going to help you, but you see them doing some of the things that you described in your parable. You know, you see them blowing up your house in order to get to get to the person next to you, and they engage in that type of behavior as well.
Exactly. And they say that they're going to bring you democracy, but what democracy is to you is chaos.
Mm.
And they say they're going to respect your human rights, but they do a sweep and they arrest your uncle, and you don't even know that they've arrested your uncle. You don't know where your uncle is. All of a sudden, they take your uncle away, and you go to the prison, and you try to find out, and they have no idea, or they're not going to tell you, and this is exactly this is how we dug ourselves into the hole in Iraq.
And again, how do you determine the mystery? Always has been to me, William, is how do you determine when you use conventional warfare that you've won? Okay, we're done here. With conventional warfare, there is a end date, isn't there?
Well, the enemy surrenders. Unfortunately, World War II is really the last time that happened. Korea ended in a stalemate. We left Vietnam. And in Iraq, what basically happened was the Iraqi army and the Iraqi state just disappeared. They just went home. They didn't. I think there was one Iraqi general that actually surrendered, and he basically surrendered himself because all his troops were gone.
So what are you supposed to do militarily in those circumstances? Don't you change your game plan?
Well, again, these are the things that mystify some people in the U.S. military. Is when generals say that the kind of chaos that happened in Iraq couldn't have been foreseen. Well, of course it could have been foreseen, because the exact same thing happened in Panama after we overthrew Manuel Noriega. We invaded Panama, and the next thing, 2 days later, as soon as the shooting really stopped, was everyone in Panama decided that it was a buying opportunity, that they were going to do some looting, and that they were going to kind of run amok in the streets, because there was an absence of police power, because the Panamanian police and military had vanished, and the U.S. military said at the time, we're not going to make this mistake again. If we ever have to go in again, we're going to bring more military police than we have soldiers in order to take control of the situation. And that's exactly what we didn't do in Iraq.
Why? I hear the generals coming out, six or nine of them coming out. Now they're all retired, and they're coming out, and they're demanding the removal of Donald Rumsfeld. For all of them, list the reason of we didn't have enough troops. My question is that if there, because the comparison that you made of what we did in Germany and what we did in Iraq is startling, and it is clear as a bell as to that there were mistakes made. The generals knew that going in. I didn't know that till you just said it. But the generals knew how much of a miscalculation it was to send in that few of troops. Why didn't more of the generals, why didn't more of the military, you know, just say, no, we can't do this like this?
Well, this is the heart of the feelings of the middle grade officers in the U.S. military right now, a great many of them, because really the only general that has some credibility, the other retired generals of the nine of them, most of them were following the party line when they were on active duty, and now that they're retired, now they come out and say that they were against everything. The only one that really has any credibility is General Zinni, the former Marine four-star general who was in charge of Central Command before General Franks, who was the one who conducted the invasion of Iraq. And General Zinni had done some war planning back in the 1990s because he was afraid that Saddam Hussein would be assassinated in Iraq and that Iraq would just fall apart. Mm. The U.S. would have to go in and restore order after that happened to keep the Iranians and the Syrians and everyone else from moving in and taking advantage of the situation.
How ironic it must appear to him about what we have done.
Well, ironic and angering for him because his war planning determined that at least between 380,000 and over 400,000 troops were going to be needed to do this.
Mm.
And he had done the planning and he had done the war gaming. But when it came time for the invasion of Iraq, Secretary Rumsfeld wanted to do it lean. He wanted to do it like Afghanistan. He wanted to do it with minimum troops. And what they did was they picked the minimum number, and this is what, in General Zinni's view, has gotten us into a great deal of trouble.
And we're going to take another break. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to former Marine Infantry Officer William Christie. He's joining us from Western North Carolina. We'll take a couple of your calls when we get back at 1-877-920-WGNU. Please stay with us.
In a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Wednesday night is West Wing night here on WGNU. From 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday, Herb Steck is your party line host to help you get through your hump day. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 for the West Wing with Herb Steck. Here on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. Also online at www.wgnu.net.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU. Join the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes March to Stop Sexual Assault and Gender Violence on Saturday at 9 a.m. at Tower Grove Park. The walk expands the dialogue between men and women on gender differences, relationships, and violence. Plus, it gives men the option to literally walk a mile in women's high-heeled shoes. To find out more, call 314-645-2075 or go to ravenstl.org. Something for you from WGNU.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. Join me Tuesday evenings from 10 to 11 p.m., where we allow both sides of an issue to be heard. That's Curran Events, Tuesday nights at 10 to 11, right here on WGNU.
To register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Moscow. Iran has acquired a number of air defense missile systems from Russia. The $700 million purchase was made for about 30 of the Tor M1 integrated mobile air defense systems. Russia says that despite American objections, the Tor is not a strategic weapon, but is only designed to protect Iranian airspace. General Yuri Balyayevsky, the chairman of the Russian General Staff, says his country does not plan on becoming involved militarily in a potential conflict between Iran and the United States. Iran has also recently test-fired a radar-guided cruise missile it acquired from China. In addition, Iran has also reportedly modified a Shahab ballistic missile so that instead of containing multiple warheads, it is equipped with decoy or dummy warheads that are supposed to confuse American or Israeli missile weaponry, such as the Patriot. And Dateline Washington. The Bush administration is working on plans for something called the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. This plan is designed to create a free trade zone inside a designated land area comprised of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and would work much like the European Union concept. The original design of the SPP, which was established last March, is a common approach to security to protect North America from external threats, as well as streamline the security and efficient movement of traffic across the borders. There is currently a bill in Congress that would create law enforcement teams made up of personnel from all three nations. Another aspect of the SPP is a partnership plan for big business offering preferred treatment by the government. That would eliminate marketplace competition and give a regional government more control over such businesses. When Vicente Fox was elected in 2000, he told a crowd in California that he and his government would do all they could to make sure that within 10 years, the border gets open to free movement of workers. Clearly, the Bush administration's proposed guest worker program fits that criteria. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Everyone, this is Mark Hinderleiter. Tune in to my show, Lessons in Leadership, at 8 o'clock every Monday night. Each week, I'll talk with high-level leaders in business, government, education, and the community about current leadership topics. This show is like a weekly MBA class, and you can attend from home or in your car. Get the leadership edge you need by listening to Lessons in Leadership, Monday nights at 8 o'clock on WGNU.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to our final few minutes with our guest, former Marine Infantry Officer William Christie. He's joining us from North Carolina. And I'd like to get to a caller or two. Dimitri, you have a question or a comment for our guest, William Christie.
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call. William Christie, first of all, I want to thank you for your service to our country. And my comment to you, and I can't make this stronger than is possible, in that I take strong exception to your remark about, if I understand you correctly, about the insurgency, comparing them to a criminal element. And the reason for that is, would you tell me, have you ever heard of a criminal bank robber blowing himself up in the process of robbing a bank?
No, sir. And what I was really talking about, and this is really the essence of counterinsurgency, is that even though you are fighting insurgents that have no compunction as far as the methods they use, they use high explosives, they use rocket-propelled grenades, they use machine guns, and they use it hiding behind innocent people, you still have to fight them as if it was a law enforcement problem rather than a military problem. Because if you don't, you're going to make the situation worse. You're going to create more, you see,
And draw the distinction between law enforcement and military, because that is something I don't think a lot of people understand. Thank you, Dimitri.
Thank you, Liz.
Well, what I meant was, as in my commentary, when the police come in and they arrest the white supremacist running the meth lab next door to you, they do it by arresting them, getting them off the street. They don't do it by kicking down the door of every house in the neighborhood and pushing people around, and they don't do it by dropping a bomb on the white supremacist house. The key in counterinsurgency is that you don't want to make more guerrillas than you kill. We've killed thousands of insurgents in Iraq, but the problem is that the indiscriminate conventional military methods that we used have also created tens of thousands of more insurgents, particularly in a tribal society where there's a blood debt when someone is killed. If you kill a member of my family, I have an obligation. Every member of the family has an obligation to try to even that blood debt up with you.
Well, let me ask you this. In your parable, you asked the question at the end, would you join up with the person that was trying to get the police after what they had done to you? Does that make you, are you now a counterinsurgent? Are you now the insurgent?
Yeah, exactly. You've just become an insurgent because of the way you were treated.
Okay.
See, most people aren't looking at the larger issues. An American soldier kicked down your door, in Muslim society, even putting hands on your wife is violating her. They've kicked down the door, they've violated your wife, you have to have revenge. Even if you had not hated the Americans before that, it's time to pick up a gun and start shooting at them. Or it's time to go out and dig the hole that someone else is going to put the bomb in. This is the problem, this is the crux of counterinsurgency.
And let me get to another caller or two. Alvin, you have a question for our guest, William Christie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Enter your guest, William. My name, hi, this is Alvin Brown. My comment is that I can only agree completely with especially your present guest and the guest you had this morning on immigration. The reason why the subject of Iraq is so pertinent to us as a nation here in the United States is because of COINTELPRO. And when he just said about the military turning people into more counterinsurgents, it puts me in the mind of what the provisional government, Republic of New Africa, faces in just trying to deal legally with occupation in our neighborhoods, in our community, in the United States.
All right. Thank you, Alvin.
Liz.
Yes.
I need to talk to you.
Okay. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is the number. Let me get to another comment. Scott.
Yeah. Is the military telling soldiers to come back home and sell the war to the public?
Thanks for your question.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think as far as senior officers go, it's the same way as if you worked for Kraft Food or Procter and Gamble. You know, you're selling the product because that's how you're going to advance in the corporation. As far as the soldiers, if you read a lot of the soldiers' blogs from Iraq that drive the military crazy, a lot of them have very contrary opinions to the U.S. military, and a lot of them have opinions that they think they're doing good work. I mean, let me be quite clear that there are a lot of U.S. military units that are fighting the counterinsurgent war in a proper way, but there are a lot of them that aren't, based on the commander. For example, in the immediate aftermath of Iraq, the Marines and the 101st Airborne Division, which is the Army, did a really excellent job getting to know the people in their particular area. And there were other units, particularly the 82nd Airborne Division and the 4th Infantry Division, that really had that kick down the door attitude and alienated a lot of the population.
And that has to be our last word. William Christie, where can people get a copy of this column that you have written?
Well, you can go to the website Defense and the National Interest, and that's where the commentary is posted. And my latest novel is Threat Level, and it's currently out in paperback.
Thank you so much, William Christie, for joining us on Mondays at 9.
Liz, thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. The fence at the pumps is beginning to feel like an ever-tightening vise, according to these motorists.
I'm fixing to take the train to work. Mainly the prices is what's got me. You know, I'm waiting for them to go down. They say 2 months.
There has to be something. This is crazy. You know, it's dipping into my pocket every day. I got to work extra hours. You know, just to make more gas money. So it's ridiculous.
The national average price for a gallon of gas is $2.91. Some analysts predict it'll pump up to over $4 a gallon by summer. OPEC oil ministers meeting in Doha say there's not much they can do.